top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, this is Barry Bagnato live in Alexandria, Virginia. Zacharias Moussaoui, who boasted of being directly involved in the September 11th plot, has been sentenced to life in prison, not death. After the verdict was announced here, he declared, "America, you lost." That's not the view of Carrie Lamack. Her mother died on 9/11.
He's going to be in jail for the rest of his life, which is exactly what this man deserves. He's an Al-Qaeda wannabe, and he does not deserve any credit for 9/11.
It's a stinging defeat for the government, a surprising win for defense lawyers, including Edward McMahon.
It is our hope that the government does not use the verdict in this case as an excuse for its performance before September 11th.
The key to the verdict, three jurors decided Moussaoui had no direct knowledge of the 9/11 plot. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
There's an astonishing contradiction here. This jury essentially spared Moussaoui from a death sentence because it found that, or at least some jurors found, that he had a limited role in the plot. Yet a couple of weeks ago, they allowed this case to get to this stage by saying that he was linked to the plot. You would hope at some point some juror would say something about how that squares, but nevertheless, it spares Moussaoui's life.
Moussaoui will be formally sentenced tomorrow. This is Barry Bagnato live in Alexandria, Virginia. Now here's Harley Carnes.
President Bush met with Democrats and Republican leaders today to talk about ways to battle high gasoline prices.
Prices of gasoline should serve as a wake-up call to all of us involved in public office, that we have got a energy security problem and a national security problem, and now is the time to deal with it in a forceful way.
Mr. Bush urged people to buy fuel-efficient vehicles as a start. If the system works as it has been, prices should start coming down. According to some, demand for gasoline is flat. Supplies are up for the first time in 9 weeks.
I'm Cammie McCormick. Higher gas prices may be changing our driving habits.
The amount of gas that Americans used last week was down.
Craig Stevens, a spokesman for the Department of Energy, says we appear to be driving less.
Americans are taking matters into their own hands and using smart practices by bundling trips together or carpooling or making sure their vehicles are well maintained in order to reduce the amount of gasoline that they're using.
Demand is down 21,000 barrels a day from last week.
Earl Woods named his son Tiger after one of his Green Beret friends from the Vietnam conflict. Earl Woods also put a golf club in young Tiger's hands when he was a little boy. Earl Woods has died after a long battle with prostate cancer. His famous son has lost more than a father. He's lost his buddy.
It was obvious to me that Tiger never had a closer friend. I mean, he called his father my best friend, and he said it several times. He's my best friend.
That's CBS News correspondent Ed Bradley, who spent a lot of private time with the Woods family for a 60 Minutes piece. On Wall Street today, the Dow was off 16 points to close at 11,400. The Nasdaq lost nearly 6. Oil prices at $72.28 a barrel, down $2.33. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
Professor, this is Mary.
Hi, I wanted to find out about adding minutes to my phone.
Okay, what would you like to know?
OnStar Hands-Free Calling is a voice-activated calling feature built into OnStar-equipped vehicles. It allows subscribers to make and receive calls while keeping their hands on the wheel and eyes on the road.
Can I go ahead and add the 250 minutes?
You can always go higher now.
Hey, girlfriend, slow it down, will you? I'm already addicted to this thing.
Well, I'm glad you like it. I'm going to place you on hold while I download these minutes.
Okay, sounds good.
There are no additional access fees, roaming, or long-distance charges.
Thank you for holding those units for download successfully. Just tell all your friends how they get you out of OnStar.
I definitely will. Thank you so much.
No problem. Is there anything else I can do for you?
Nope, that's it. So you have a good night.
You have a great evening, and thank you for using OnStar.
OnStar Hands-Free Calling is available on 16 Chevy cars and trucks. To purchase minutes or learn more about this service, push your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar Hands-Free Calling is not available in certain markets.
Ultrasound devices have been available to the public for many years. Now CBS News correspondent Chris Mavridi says California officials would like to change that.
Buying an ultrasound machine really isn't that tough. Some companies will sell them to you new, or you can just go online. And checking eBay, there are a pile of them here. One with enough power, it says, to look at the heart. Another says it's set for OBGYN use, going for about $1,800. And another has a top bid of $7,500. It's described as a bone densitometer.
California says improperly used, those machines can be dangerous. Walking on silo grain is dangerous. It can be like quicksand. In Redwood Falls, Minnesota, a farmer, Buddy Dolezal, got trapped in a grain bin. He was sinking, and every movement he made got him deeper into trouble. He managed to reach his cell phone, got his son and his grandson on the phone. They got there in time. He was up to his neck in corn kernels. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Why do I like working for Verizon Wireless? Well, my job is turning ideas into reality. All those new features like video on your cell phone that you show your friends, that's my team bringing them to you. So what's not to like? But the best part is that here, it's not just a job, it's a career. With great training and tuition reimbursement, Verizon Wireless and I grow together. I'm Brian Williams, Technology Development Engineer. Our people, our network, Verizon Wireless. We never stop working for you.
Today, another arthritis medicine has been recalled.
Glucosamine is under fire.
Some arthritis remedies may be ineffective, so says the FDA.
Finally, some good news for people with arthritis. Introducing Arthritis Advantage. Arthritis Advantage is a clinically proven treatment that works naturally with your immune system to stop arthritis pain before it starts. That's right, before it starts, and without side effects. Now you have an advantage against arthritis. New Arthritis Advantage. Look for it in the supplement section at your pharmacy.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. This is one of those days when I have moderate regrets that our program is only 3 hours long. There is so much to talk about. My faith in the jury trial system in this country has been restored by the sentence meted out by the jury in Alexandria, Virginia, against Moussaoui today. They rebuffed our government's desire to fry this guy, and instead, wisely, in my view, chose to sentence him to life in prison. We are live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom. We are live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And our program is now heard in Phoenix on KPHX 1480, the new progressive talk station in Phoenix. And we're on our second night in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City, KSAC. Welcome one and all. On our program today, we take an in-depth look at impeaching Cheney and Bush, in that order. In about a half hour, David Swanson will join us again. He's one of the founders of AfterDowningStreet.org and ImpeachPack.org. And we'll talk about the impressive gathering in Sacramento last weekend, where California Democrats embraced the idea of impeaching these two leaders. And we have an assemblyman who is planning to introduce a resolution in the state legislature. Paul Koretz from West Hollywood will join us in our second hour today as we continue that conversation about the potential for impeachment. Also on the show today, we're going to talk about money and politics. The Center for Responsive Politics has been around 15 or 20 years now, and they track the money, where it comes from, and how it's spent. And we're going to talk to Massey Rich and also clue you into the website OpenSecrets.org, if you haven't been there before. We're also going to get a live report from Ohio today, where Diebold has done it again. Yesterday was the Ohio primary, and massive problems with the electronic voting machines. Our man on the ground in Columbus, where the O is optional, Harvey Wasserman, will join us at the top of our third hour, and we'll also be taking lots of your calls along the way. My lines are always open for you, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or you can call me toll-free. And that number is good anywhere in the continental U.S. Try it from Hawaii. I haven't. 888-579-2540 is the toll-free number. That's 888-579-2540. And if I am new to you, like Sacramento or Phoenix, I want to invite you to drop by my website, peterbcollins.com. That's where you can see a picture of your humble host. You can listen to archived programs, get the link to our daily live feed. And we're working on the website to upgrade it, but it's got your basic needs covered. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Joining us first up this afternoon is the director of a new film called The Beauty Academy, Academy of Kabul. She is director Liz Merman. Hello, Liz. You're on the air.
Hi. Good to be here.
Nice to talk with you. And for our listeners on the Central Coast, The Beauty Academy of Kabul opens this Friday at the Nickelodeon Theater in Santa Cruz. And I'm sure lots of people will want to go see it. Liz, you've made many documentaries on abortion rights, on news issues, on feature stories. What drew you to go to Kabul and pursue this story of women building a beauty academy in a country that, well, had women pretty well covered up in burqas for the last 10 or 15 years?
Yeah, I mean, I stumbled across this story in the newspaper, and I found it absolutely irresistible. I mean, first of all, I had the same reaction I'm sure everyone who first hears about it has, which is, this is insane. Who are these people? Why are they opening a beauty school, of all things, in Afghanistan? This was, you know, less than a year after the fall of the Taliban, the American invasion, and it just seemed pretty low on the priority list, and you know, and I thought, well, any American women going over to do this have to be wacky and interesting and good story material. But in this story, it mentioned the fact that under the Taliban, Afghan women had started running beauty salons in secret from their homes. Mm-hmm. And that was just a fascinating little detail. You know, why would they do this? It was an incredibly dangerous thing to do at that point. Mm-hmm. And yet, I mean, was beauty really that important to them? What was going on? So I just really wanted to learn more.
And Liz, I haven't met you, but I imagine you're a stylin' gal. Have you ever been to a beauty academy or a beauty college or studied to be a beautician or a makeup artist, any of that?
No. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the things that journalists always comment on when they meet me in the articles is the fact that I'm wearing practically no makeup.
Well, it's okay. I don't wear makeup either, and styling my hair takes exactly 14 seconds every morning.
Oh, lucky you.
I don't have much left, that's why. But I really was touched by the film because it's not a direct political film. It's really a profile of these women mm-hmm. who are dealing with very difficult circumstances. And, you know, maybe men are a little skeptical of this, but the take I got from it is that this is an overlooked but critical component of rebuilding civil society.
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of things that, you know, I went in thinking it was just sort of a cute, silly story and came out feeling like it's just representative of so many things that we don't really think about. I mean, there's the element of, you know, you're living in a war zone. In a way, the things that just make life bearable day to day and make us human become more important. I mean, the idea that, you know, you look at CNN and you see just struggle and suffering, and when they show war zone, people are kind of indistinguishable and they all blend together. And, you know, when you're living through hell like that, asserting your individuality, asserting the ways in which you're human, whether it's doing hair and makeup or whatever, I think become more important. I mean, that's what I learned talking to these women. And it's so easy to reduce people in these areas to victims, and they all kind of blend together, and then we can distance them, and they don't feel real, you know. But they still have the same desires for life that anyone else does. Mm-hmm.
You were there for 10 or 11 weeks in 2003, so it's mm-hmm. been a little while. Are you still in touch with any of the women you profiled in the film?
Kind of at one remove. I mean, I don't. None of them have email. None of them have phones. I mean, the infrastructure is still a mess, and you have to have a fair amount of money to be in the communications grid. But I do get reports every time, you know, I have a friend who's going over there, a journalist or an aid worker or whatever. I kind of, you know, they go and check in with the people I know who are over there. And I hear that the women from the school are still running beauty salons. And, you know, I mean, it's one of the best businesses out there.
Yeah.
They're making a lot of money, and who would have thought? But especially if you know, for these younger women who were kicked out of school and don't have the options to go back and become doctors or writers or, you know, anything that requires a full education, this has mm-hmm. become really a godsend.
We're talking with Liz Merman, director of this new documentary called The Beauty Academy of Kabul, and it opens this Friday night at the Nickelodeon Theater in Santa Cruz and some other theaters in California, including the Lumiere in San Francisco. I know we have some online listeners in San Francisco, Shattuck Cinemas in Berkeley, Rafael Film Center, San Rafael, And we also mentioned the Nickelodeon in Santa Cruz. Now, if I can move away from the film for a minute here and just talk about your observations there. We hear often from President Bush and the administration spinners that we liberated Afghanistan. And that 25 million people are now free, and that women are going to school again after those schools were closed to them during the reign of the Taliban. And to be fair, it's been, well, since the early 1980s that there was any kind of social stability and lack of war or civil strife in Afghanistan. So how liberated do these people feel, and how grateful or ungrateful are they to the United States for the current conditions in Afghanistan?
Well, I can only speak to the, you know, my limited experience with the people I spoke to when I was there. And, you know, and the women, I have to say, were very cautious about talking about politics, which is, I think, probably something that happens when you've been living through a whole series of totalitarian regimes. You learn to keep your mouth shut. But, you know, it's a very mixed situation. There's a lot of anger at, yes, people are glad the Taliban's gone, and a lot of people made a point of coming up to me and saying, we are glad that the security forces are here. We're glad the Americans came and got rid of them. You know, please don't leave us. That was the big message. And now behind that, if you pushed, was, and you got us into the mess in the first place by giving all these weapons to the Mujahideen and then disappearing as soon as the Soviets left. I mean, the overall feeling that I encountered was Afghanistan has been a pawn in geopolitics for decades, and with, you know, no regard for Afghans themselves. It's all about, you know, how useful they are in power politics, and Afghans are all very aware of that. And certainly, I mean, most of the destruction in Kabul was done during the civil war that happened after the Soviets withdrew, and all these different factions were fighting with each other with the weapons that we had left there. And, you know, they know all that. The feeling is, there aren't bombs falling now, and the Taliban are gone, and it could all go to hell again any moment.
So please fix my hair and let me distract myself.
Or, you know, I don't want to stick my neck out and talk about politics. I just want to support my family. I just
right.
want to feed my kids, and I am hoping and praying that things don't get bad again, because if they do, I'm back off to Pakistan or a refugee camp somewhere, because I'm not living through another, you know, year of bombs falling in the city.
Time for a break here. We'll continue with Liz Merman in just a moment. She's director of this new film, The Beauty Academy of Kabul. If you have a question or comment, get on the line now. Maybe you're having your hair done. You can call from the beauty parlor, 831-899-5792, or toll free at 888-579-2540. 17 minutes past the hour, it's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Norma, just who is this Robert Owen who is running for sheriff of Monterey County?
Robert Owen lives in Soledad, and he has 30 years of experience in law enforcement. Robert Owen is a Monterey County jail sergeant who has dedicated his life to protect and serve every Monterey County resident. Robert Owen is a devoted and loving father of five children. I should know because Robert Owen is my husband, and he will be the finest sheriff Monterey County has ever had.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, From an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, emanating from the left coast and oozing eastward. I've got some great news coming up for you in a few minutes, and I'll just tell you this. This is Fitzmas Week. What's so funny about being beautiful in a recovering war zone? We're talking about the new film, The Beauty Academy of Kabul. It opens this Friday at the Nickelodeon in Santa Cruz and the other theaters I mentioned. Liz Merman, director of the film, is on the line with us for the next few minutes. If you have a question for her about what she saw in Afghanistan, feel free to give us a call, 831-899-5792, a local call on the Central Coast, or toll-free, 888-579-2540. Now, Liz, in the previous segment, you talked about the idea that the U.S. invasion had gotten rid of the Taliban. But the warlords are still very powerful. The poppy crop has returned to pre-Taliban levels. And, you know, Hamid Karzai is widely described as the mayor of Kabul, who has very little authority or security control outside of the capital city. So do people in Afghanistan really believe that the Taliban has been banished or just suppressed?
Oh, yeah, no, the latter. I mean, I'm speaking, my insights are a little bit old because I was there shooting a while ago, but even then, when there was still sort of the rush of, like, they're gone and everyone was sort of happy at the newness of being able to emerge, I mean, a lot of, like, well, for instance, women in the school were still, you know, they were still wearing burqas when they started, and they all said, this is completely alien to our culture and to the way we dress, but we don't feel safe. We don't know who's on the street. The Taliban just shaved their beards. They're still around, all those same guys, and we don't know what they're going to do. And, I mean, you know, every day in the news now, it's the Taliban are certainly not gone, and I don't think anyone there believed they were gone. There was a sigh of relief that they could come out and things were better, but, you know, as you said, this was in Kabul, and you know, the sense of people's faith in Karzai isn't great. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many different factions there that have a history of fighting with each other. And, you know, you talk to one person and they say this group destroyed Kabul. You talk to another person, they say that group destroyed Kabul. That, it's a very complicated political situation, and trying to spin it as a victory is something we don't have to think about anymore. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Now, at the Beauty Academy, was there anything you found that was, substantially different from, for example, the way American beauticians cut, curl, and color?
Well, I'd never paid so much attention to hair in my life. First of all, they're really into perming over there, which took me by surprise. I think mm-hmm. that perming isn't so popular over here anymore. And one of the details that's actually in the film, you know, one of the Americans is saying, your perms are too tight. They should be looser and more natural looking. And mm-hmm. one of the students says, yeah, but people can't afford to get perms every 3 months. We want them to be really tight so that they'll last for a year. And, you know, there's this sort of, like, emergency beauty kind of attitude. We do mm-hmm. everything a little bit over the top. So they wore tons of makeup and a lot of glitter and a lot of heavy eyeliner. And the Americans kept saying, try for a more subtle look. And they'd sort mm-hmm. of smile and ignore it.
Yeah. And did you show them the members of KISS as a little excessive makeup?
No, that would have been a good idea.
Liz, I want to ask you about one other thing. In your credits, it's listed that you were the producer-editor of Report from Ground Zero, which mm-hmm. aired on ABC.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
this is not a trick question or any kind of a setup.
Mm-hmm.
But on this program, we've talked a lot about the lingering questions about 9/11. I don't know if you've seen a powerful documentary called Loose Change 9/11.
I actually have, yeah.
And I'm just curious what you think of that and what you think of the 9/11 truth movement. Is there need for truth and further investigation to get there?
Oh, that's such a complicated question. I mean, it's all I can say is that having, you know, interviewed 50 firemen and policemen and people who are, you know, down there dealing with that crisis as it was unfolding at the World Trade Center. I mean, the sort of parsing over the evidence, it was a day of absolute chaos and horror. And anyone mm-hmm. who sort of saw, I find it very hard to believe that this was something that was orchestrated by, I mean, there are certainly questions, but it's not surprising there are questions because it was an unprecedented, outrageous, crazy, unimaginable event for most of us. But
right, but just from the firefighter perspective, Loose Change shows you the interviews that and some of the radio reports that occurred on 9/11,
mm-hmm.
and also some of the firefighters talking about it afterward,
mm-hmm.
and they explicitly say that they heard these secondary explosions and that there were explosions very near the ground level in the, I believe it was Tower 2.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not, although I did interview a whole bunch of experts on this, I'm certainly, you know, not qualified to comment on how that film and all the statements that were made in it. I just know that, you know, having talked to, and one of the guys we interviewed was an expert in building collapse, and, you know, it just, it made sense to him that this would have happened the way it did, and, you know. I mean, it doesn't surprise me there would be secondary explosions because, I mean, the building is full of flammable material and there's a huge amount of jet fuel, but I don't know.
To me, Building 7 is just this open question because...
Yeah.
Sure, there were a couple of fires in there, but nothing that should have brought the building down.
It's such a, you know, from the sort of gut level of the people who are suffering through it, having spent all that time with those firefighters, it's hard for me to take it on in that way, the sort of what really happened and who really did mm-hmm. this, although I know that that's important. I don't know. I find those things very troubling, and probably more troubling than I would have if I hadn't spent a month and a half interviewing these men who were just, you know, in tears.
I'm out of time here, but I appreciate your honest comments. Liz Merman, director of the Beauty Academy of Kabul. As we mentioned, it opens Friday at the Nickelodeon in Santa Cruz. Coming up next, David Swanson talks about impeaching Cheney first. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
Every business wants more functionality, efficiency, and flexibility from their document imaging technology.
Sharp, multifunctional products with open systems architecture, MFPs, that do more than just copy, print, fax, and scan.
Sharp's open systems architecture seamlessly integrates the MFP with your business applications,
giving you a gateway to your network. From the convenience of the MFP's customizable LCD panel for fast, flexible access to documents from anywhere in the office.
Sharp MFPs also enable you to effectively track usage, eliminate repetitive tasks, and streamline workflow.
Sharp Document Imaging Technology.
Functionality, accessibility, efficiency.
Sharp MFPs, awarded most IT-friendly by leading industry analyst Buyers Lab.
Tri-County Business Systems, solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Paraiso Vineyards' 5th Annual Air Show on May 13th. Call 831-678-0300 or go to the web at paraisovineyards.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, the program that's unafraid to ask tough questions, even if people think we're crackpots, about 9/11 or about impeaching the president and vice president.
Here we come, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know we're really bored. Hey, hey, Whenever we want to, yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections, run the country into the ground.
And here on the Collins program, we are following closely the work of the grand jury in Washington, D.C., under the direction of Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald. And our sources indicate that the predictions that Jason Leopold made on our show yesterday appear to be coming true, that the grand jury did meet today. And our sources indicate that there very well could be an announcement on Friday at a news conference held by Mr. Fitzgerald, that the grand jury has returned one or more indictments against senior advisor Karl Rove at the White House. This is still unconfirmed, but I wanted to update you because our sources indicate that it is on track. And we'll continue to follow this, and if we hear information that conflicts with what we've been telling you, we'll tell you that too. But it does sound very likely that Mr. Rove will be notified very soon of the work of the grand jury, and that he's got a legal defense in his future. David Swanson joins us this half hour. He's one of the founders of AfterDowningStreet.org, ImpeachPact.org, Democrats.com. He's in cahoots with Bob Furtick and others. David, welcome to our program today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Lots of interesting things going on. And just 6 months ago, when Bob Furtick was on the program, there were many people who thought that people like us were simply crackpots for discussing this idea of impeachment. And I'll hasten to add that it still is a long and arduous process, but there are a lot of encouraging signs with more members of Congress signing on to the work of John Conyers and others, an important gathering in Sacramento at the California Democratic Convention last weekend, and some strategies that have surfaced from state legislators, including Illinois, Vermont, and California, because they discovered that under Thomas Jefferson's rules of the Congress that a state legislature can forward a bill of impeachment to the House Judiciary Committee. So all in all, David, how do you size up the effort at this stage?
Quite encouraging. I mean, there are, of course, still those who believe we're crackpots, and a disproportionate number of them work in your field of endeavor. But you know, we've got majority opinion. In some polls, it's clearly a majority. In every poll, it's more than a third. In every poll, it's more than there ever was for Clinton when that was the only story the media cared about. There's strong support for impeachment. And among Democrats, as everyone witnessed in Sacramento on Saturday, polls show 80-90% of Democrats want congressional candidates who are pro-impeachment, want impeachment now, are frustrated with waiting, are frustrated with every new smoking gun in the pile of evidence, and want something to be done. And so the frustration with Congress, as you mentioned, has led to efforts at the local and state levels to get resolutions passed. And 13 or 14 cities now have passed them, and in three states, resolutions have been introduced, with a couple more states about to come on board there. And if one of those passes and is sent to Congress, it remains to be seen what will happen. But the Jefferson Manual, the rules suggest that the Speaker and the Clerk and the Judiciary Committee will be compelled to take up that and at least vote it down, if
yeah.
nothing else.
I want to return to that scenario in a bit, but first I want to acknowledge that leadership on this issue has come from the city councils of Arcata and Santa Cruz, which are in our key coverage areas of the Peter B. Collins Show here in California, and Assemblyman Paul Koritz of West Hollywood will be on our show in the next half hour, and he is prepared to introduce a resolution in the legislature here in California to forward, again, an impeachment resolution from a state legislature to the National Congress. So the movement is gathering strength. And, David, I always cite what is at the top of the homepage on impeachpact.org as a critical framing of this issue. And that's where you and Furtick put that your goal is to change the Congress so that we can pursue impeachment. And I believe that even if ultimately Bush and Cheney serve out their terms, that this is an important process that can galvanize non-Republicans and that hopefully could lead to winning the uphill battle for control of the House. 15 seats are needed, and it will not be easy this November.
Well, I certainly agree, of course, that we have to change the Congress if we are to pursue impeachment. But I think we also have to stress that we have to pursue impeachment in order to change the Congress. Yeah. That is, there is no better election issue than impeachment. This is where the passion is. And if everyone is scared of it and says, oh, we'll talk about that after the elections, well, that's another way to keep losing elections. And then you won't talk about it then either. So it's not an either-or, focus on elections or focus on what the Constitution demands of us. It's both together. They help
and
each other.
I firmly agree with you, David, and I welcome a fight inside the Democratic Party over this issue, because I really am frustrated with Leader Pelosi and Leader Reid, who are not hearing the upwelling and this groundswell from the grassroots. That we care deeply about these issues. We want an honest government. We want these people held to account one way or another. And, of course, it starts with Feingold's censure resolution in the Senate. That should be a no-brainer. There should be no Democrats dancing around or running for the exits when that issue is presented, yet that's exactly what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely there should not be. And Congressman John Conyers had long since introduced censure against both Bush and Cheney in the House.
Right.
Didn't get as much media attention. It was Christmas and so forth. But also introduced a bill to create an investigation into grounds for impeachment that now has 36 Congress members on it. And there is reason to believe that we may soon have a bill in Congress of articles of impeachment against Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
And there's arguments both ways. Should we go for Cheney first or Bush first or both simultaneously? You know, and there are pros and cons each way. But I think it's important to remember we're just talking about which gets introduced first,
mm-hmm.
not which actually has the investigation first, because any investigation is not going to go into one of these criminals without indicting the other.
And what about a doubleheader, David? After all, you know, Cheney and Bush didn't feel comfortable speaking to the 9/11 Commission privately without being under oath unless they were together.
Yeah, well, they aren't going to have that choice if Congress really holds a trial in the Senate on impeachment charges. That's not going to be an option for them. But, you know, the biggest fear you hear when you go around the country talking about impeachment is, but if we impeach Bush, then we'll have Cheney. You know,
right.
And of course, it's nonsense. You know, removal from office is four steps down the line after impeachment and investigation and so forth, and we're going to get them both if we get either one. But that's the fear that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, the politics within the Congress suggests that we may have some members willing to introduce articles against Cheney now and not against Bush yet for some weeks or months. And
mm-hmm.
so there is the possibility of moving that, and it moves the issue just as Feingold did wonderfully for a week or so. It puts it in the media. It brings up the crimes and the charges and the potential of impeaching both of these guys. And it might just, in a very Karl Rovian manner, split the White House and the other party. It's going to be very difficult for Republicans to defend Cheney. This is a guy at 18% approval. You know, Bush has now reached Nixon, has now matched Nixon in terms of unpopularity.
Mm-hmm.
Cheney blows him out of the water.
Yeah,
you know?
At 18%. And
yeah.
And David, I'm glad that you are not namby-pamby or being pressed by people who might be described as lacking courage, because I think we have to confront these issues head on. And we have to confront the weaker members of the Democratic Party head on. And we can't sit back and try to split the difference, go down the center of the road, do a kind of DLC straddle. We've got to come right out and say these guys need to be held accountable for what they have done to our nation, to our future, to our foreign policy, getting us embroiled in wars based on lies. These are not trivial issues. These are not people who are, you know, we're not simply hung up on the past and, you know, obsessed with these things in order to go neener neener on these people. We're trying to rescue our government from fascists. It's that simple and it's that urgent.
That's absolutely right. And there's nothing that says that we can't have 15 Republicans now in the current Congress grow a spine and a conscience and stand up to a criminal president who happens to belong to their party. Impeachment is not, in its very nature, partisan. It is only partisan now because we don't have any Republicans who've yet stepped forward. There is no reason that they shouldn't. There were Democrats who held Johnson accountable for his crimes. This is called putting your country ahead of an individual. And I think that your next guest, Assemblymember Koretz, is going up against this problem within the state legislature of California, where there are those who do not want to take on federal issues. We're a state government. We must stick with state issues. You know, you're not going to have a state to speak of if the federal government continues down this path. You can't draw that line. There's no way to do it.
And David, what I appreciate is that you're willing to consider the full range of tactics available to us, including playing some hardball with an administration that does it all day long, 24/7. And it's fascinating to me that this is one-party rule. Everything that they do is highly partisan. And when Democrats or others object to it, they say, oh, they're just so partisan. You know, I mean, get out of here, will you? You're angry. You're partisan. We're going to take a break and continue with David Swanson. You can visit the website impeachpack.org or democrats.com. He's got a piece posted that I found at opednews.com earlier this week. And we're going to take your calls in the next segment, 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll-free at 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a bill of fare. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
There are many ways fathers are involved in their children's lives. There are stay-at-home dads, working dads, and fathers who are separated from their kids through divorce or other circumstances. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me to discuss the ways fathers stay connected with their children.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest. My prices are affordable and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Mm.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
From the left coast, this is the Peter B. Collins Show.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
I've mentioned this before on the Peter B. Collins Show, but recently there's an email that's been circulating with a photograph of a middle-aged woman at a protest rally somewhere. And she's holding a sign that reads, "Would someone please give Bush a BJ so we can impeach him?"
Does he really think Armageddon is nigh? Does he care if children die? La, 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 la.
We're talking with David Swanson. You can read his blog at impeachpack.org, also afterdowningstreet.org, democrats.com. Any other websites we should mention, David?
Oh, those are the good ones.
Okay. And I first picked up this piece at opednews.com on Monday, and you talk about this concept of impeaching Cheney first. You credit it to Maxine Waters, who mentioned this at a packed auditorium during the Democratic State Convention in Sacramento last weekend. And earlier today, I talked with one of the organizers of the Progressive Caucus who helped organize that event, and she told me that she felt, and we'll ask Assemblyman Koritz about this in a few minutes, that the crackpot image has fallen away, and that mainstream Democrats see this, like you described a few minutes ago, David, as important, not trivial or silly, and also a very valuable organizing tool for the Democrats.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've seen serious major articles on this movement for impeachment in the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post, and we now have the Boston Globe on a crusade over Bush's 750 violations of laws and signing statements professing his unwillingness to obey laws as they're passed.
Yeah, we had Charlie Savage from the Globe on our show.
Good.
On Monday, yeah.
Good.
And, of course, that was National Law Day and the anniversary of the release of the Downing Street memos.
Yes, and the three-year anniversary of Mission Accomplished.
Right.
Not to mention May Day, and a day on which immigrants in this country turned out in the kind of numbers that we so-called natives have got to turn out if we're going to accomplish anything. We need to learn from them. That was quite a day. But it's here and it's not. You know, Charlie Savage has a great article, but the rest of the media is ignoring it.
Uh-huh.
The Downing Street memo was in the news for a few days and then ignored again. So we have to get to the point where we have that saturation coverage, where we watched Kenneth Starr get his newspaper at the end of his driveway every morning. if we don't get to that, you know, we have this reverse of what we had with Clinton, where the public didn't want it, but the media was gung-ho and demanding resignations. Now we have the public gung-ho, and the media just starting to come along in trickles. And we had the L.A. Times call for Rumsfeld's resignation and for Bush to dump Cheney. This was the first step. We don't have the demands for Bush's resignation that we need, despite the fact that he has higher disapproval than Nixon did when he resigned. So
yeah,
we're getting there, but we're not there yet.
Let's take a call. Dave from Humboldt, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with David Swenson.
Hey, Peter, I learned so much listening to this program. If there is somebody out there that has a chance of saving this country from the nightmare that it's going through, you do find him. And, David, I so much appreciate what you're doing. I think the concern that I have the most is that we seem to have a Congress that doesn't have a clue of how bad it is. You know, that when one senator had the courage to call for a censure, what kind of support did he get? And so, you're going to be saying they deserve to be impeached, literally. I think they all deserve to be taken off to prison and tried on capital crimes. But most of the senators and congressmen, I don't hear that coming from them.
What paralyzes them, David, in your view? Because John Murtha correctly pointed out that the American people are out in front of their elected leaders on the war, on these issues of impeachment and presidential, the grab for power. And yet our elected leaders are just sitting on their hands hoping to survive another election.
Yeah, well, you know, the public is out on front of Murtha as well on the war. You know, the public's not asking for strategic redeployment. We're asking to end the war and bring our boys home now. And and there are not there's a minority in the so-called Out of Iraq caucus that is for that position. So everything looks different from inside Congress. And the thinking still goes that you can't do what the people want because it will hurt you in elections and will hurt you with the media. And we just saw a vote on the first vote in the build-up to the next war on Iran with these sanctions, and only 21 members of the Congress voted no.
Yeah.
We had the co-chairs of the Progressive Caucus, the Out of Iraq Caucus, all the good standby courageous progressives vote yes.
Oh,
and so we have a Congress that cannot be counted on. But today we saw the Senate vote for an amendment to not allow a single dime of this new money to go to permanent bases in Iraq. And we had won that in the House miraculously. We've won it now in the Senate amazingly. If that's not stripped out in conference committee behind closed doors, if permanent is not redefined as, you know, greater than 38 years or something, then we have a minor victory, but a serious victory in that we have to stop building the bases, and we can build on these things.
Yeah.
And that's not because anybody in the Senate has become a pacifist. It's because we have forced them to this point.
Humboldt, Dave, anything else?
Believe that if the Congress ever really comes to grips with the amount of harm that's being done to this country, the people, by these people, I would like to believe they'd have the conscience enough to then act. They seem to somehow keep their head in the sand. First, we got to make them aware.
Gotcha. Okay, Dave, thanks a lot for your call today. We jump now to Salinas, where Ben is on the line, and say hello to David Swanson. I called him Swenson inaccurately a moment ago.
Good afternoon, David Swanson and Peter B.
Hi.
My comment, first of all, the lady with the sign about the BJ and the impeachment, didn't Jeff Gannon spend 116 nights in the Lincoln bedroom? Who was he servicing? We need to know that.
We don't know about any visits to the Lincoln bedroom, do we?
Yes, sir. It's a matter of record, 116 visits. Jeff Gannon.
David, have you heard that?
He's a known male prostitute, but
well, I know about that part, and I know about his websites and everything, but I've never heard overnights. I know he made a lot of visits under questionable circumstances.
Well,
for example, when there was no briefing going on, he came into the White House anyway.
Well, your bloggers will get to the truth, hopefully. My question, I wanted to focus after paying very close attention to that loose change thing.
Yes?
Marvin Bush. This guy was the head of security of a multi-billion dollar consortium offices in Kuwait owned by these people in Dubai. Are these the same people that we just tried to handle report security to? And under control of Marvin Bush's security thing in the Twin Towers, they called off the bomb-sniffing dogs. They had two alerts shortly before that. They didn't let bomb-sniffing dogs in, and they evacuated the building for these so-called practices.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't he being investigated? And I'm beginning to be of the feeling, sir, gentlemen, that all four of the planes on 9/11 were drones.
All right, let's hear from David.
Well, I'm actually not of the opinion that the planes were drones. I think they were actually planes, but I think that there is enough overwhelmingly solid, indisputable evidence that this president and vice president are guilty of the highest crimes of treason that I don't actually have to spend much energy inventing new ones. But although it's completely understandable when people do, because this government is so incredibly secret.
Right. They've told us so many lies that it invites us to question everything, and it can lead in directions that don't bear truth. But I do understand Ben's comments. We're almost out of time here. David, I want to once again mention the websites afterdowningstreet.org, impeachpact.org. I thank you for the work you're doing on behalf of Americans who know how important it is.
Well, thank you for having me, and you're doing a great job, too.
Well, we'll try to keep it up. Thank you very much. Coming up next, Assemblyman Paul Koritz from West Hollywood here in California will join us to talk about an impeachment resolution in the California Assembly. That's here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tom Hartman,
chairman of Citicorp, Sanford Weill. He says, I think companies are realizing that we all have to be salesmen for America and not just sit back and rely on the government. I would point out to Mr. Weill, chairman of Citigroup, that his company is sending American jobs to other countries.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Isn't this a great thing? We can use Indian labor for white-collar jobs while we're using Chinese labor for blue-collar jobs. I'm sorry, this just creeps me out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Zacharias Massawi says America lost today.
Jury here rejects death for the only person charged in the U.S. with direct involvement in 9/11. This is Barry Bagnato in Alexandria, Virginia.
Earl Woods, Tiger's father, dies.
It was obvious to me that Tiger never had a closer friend.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
In the case of United States versus Zacharias Massawi, the jury has found the defendant should be sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of release.
This is Barry Bagnato at federal court in Alexandria, Virginia. It comes down to this. Three jurors scribbled onto the verdict form the defendant had limited knowledge of 9/11 attack plans. In doing so, they tore out the heart of the government's case. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
In the end, the jury bought the idea that Massawi was making some of his link to Al-Qaeda up. That he wasn't as involved as he had said he was, that there was very little independent evidence linking him to the hijackers. He didn't know who they were, for example. He never contacted them.
For Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty and the government, a stinging defeat in a very expensive case.
The jury has spoken, and we respect and accept its verdict.
The verdict splits 9/11 victims and relatives. Some are angry. Not Carrie Lamack, though. Her mom died on American Flight 11.
He's going to be in jail for the rest of his life, which is exactly what this man deserves. He's an Al-Qaeda wannabe.
In the packed courtroom here, Massawi, obstinate as ever, declared, America, you lost. I won. He's 37 and will spend the rest of his life in a solitary cell at America's most secure prison. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
A little while ago, President Bush commented on the juror's decision to send Massawi to prison.
In so doing, they spared his life, which is something that he evidently wasn't willing to do for innocent American citizens.
Now this.
How hard can it be? You put up a sign, you just wait for the offers to roll in. It becomes a second job.
Getting the house appraised and the comps.
The money that you think you're going to save, you end up losing.
I've bought and sold homes before, and now the first thing I do is call a realtor.
Realtors have the experience to price your home so it can sell for up to 16% more than selling it yourself.
Using a realtor is a smart financial decision.
Get the facts straight about selling your own home. Talk to an agent and be sure to ask if that agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
It's way too risky to sell your house on your own.
This Mother's Day, give your mother the gift that will last as long as a mother's love. Have a star named after her. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will send your mom a beautiful personalized gift package with her chosen star. You may also include a sterling silver bracelet and heart charm with your mother's name and star location engraved on it. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com so she'll have her gift for Mother's Day.
The House today voted to impose criminal penalties and stiff fines on energy companies caught gouging, but there appears to be no quick fix at the pump.
Washington's effort to deal with the gas price mania appears to be stuck in neutral. Following a session with congressional leaders, President Bush sounded a familiar theme.
Prices of gasoline should serve as a wake-up call to all of us.
Mr. Bush listed a number of long-term solutions, alternative fuels and tax breaks for hybrid cars, but Senate Energy Committee Chairman Pete Domenici indicates there's no relief for price shock drivers.
We would like to be able to do something now, quickly. The truth of the matter is we can't.
And other lawmakers who met with the president share that pessimism. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
Earl Woods, who nurtured his son into a golf champion, lost his long battle with cancer today. He was 74. Tiger Woods, on his website, wrote, "My dad was my best friend and greatest role model." CBS News correspondent Ed Bradley, who profiled Tiger Woods on 60 Minutes, says it was an unusually close relationship.
If you go back to the 97 Masters, when he won that his first major championship, and there was a big hug with his father at the end. His father wasn't supposed to have been there. He'd suffered a major heart attack. He had surgery after the heart attack, and the doctor said stay home. But he went there because he felt Tiger needed him. And Tiger said he did.
Earl Woods talked about his son in an interview with Westwood One Radio.
Really honored that he has turned out the way he has, because that was the objective, to raise a good person. It was not to raise a golfer.
Tsunami warnings were issued in the South Pacific after a powerful magnitude 8.0 earthquake near Tonga. But the tsunami was measured at less than 2 feet, and a police officer in Tonga told us the quake was no big deal.
We don't have much damage. We just ran through around Nuku'alofa area, the town, the capital of Tonga, and there wasn't much damage here in Tonga.
Good thing. Officials discovered later that Tonga's tsunami warning system had failed. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
If you're an adult age 65 and up, you've probably heard about the new prescription drug benefits available to you with the new Medicare Part D. You've probably also got a lot of questions. Your Save-On and Osco pharmacists have access to internet tools to help you identify plan options that cover your current medications. Enrollment period ends May 15th, 2006. So come in today and ask the questions you need to decide which Part D prescription plan is best for you. Your trusted partners in health, Save-On and Osco pharmacies.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B.
First he went and stole the election. The Supreme Court made the selection. The corporations gave the direction. They said Bush it. He went and hired his daddy's staff and a few guys from Nixon's just for a laugh. Now the world is his oyster, split in half. Push it. Though he'd never been to a foreign land, had a map of the world he'd never understand. Right off his back went the puppeteer's hand. Push it. Push it. The old president's drum. Push it. That's the way it's done. All of your friends, who knows where this whole thing's gonna end?
And who does know where this whole thing's gonna end? Will Bush and Cheney survive all the way till 2008? Actually, January of 2009 is when Inauguration Day would occur. Well, we're standing by to talk with Assemblyman Paul Koretz, a Democrat from West Hollywood who serves in the California legislature and is prepared to offer an impeachment resolution. And this is an important conversation, so as soon as we hook up with him, we'll get him on the air. Wanted to let you know that later this hour, we'll be talking about money and politics, money in politics, too, with Massey Rich from the website OpenSecrets.org, which is run by the Center for Responsive Politics. They do a great job of tracking where the money comes from, who it goes to, and then we get to figure out how it influences the work of our elected officials. Now, we had a great talk with David Swanson about the impeachment issue and the concept of, impeaching Cheney first, which I think has a lot of merit. It'll be interesting to see what the assemblyman thinks about that. But I think it's always worthwhile to remind us how serious this is and how we got to where we are.
Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
Iraq, weapons of mass destruction.
A clear threat to the United States.
And there's dozens of ballistic missiles.
It has sponsored and sheltered terrorists.
Paying suicide
bombers.
Chemical
weapons are equally chosen.
Biological weapons, including anthrax and botulism toxins.
Biological and chemical agent to kill millions of people.
Chemical weapons, including VX and sarin, mustard gas.
To a massive and sudden horror.
Massive death and destruction.
Death on a massive scale.
What you just heard, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Rice, and Bush, all telling lies. And not just little campaign fibs like, I'm going to fix the education system or I'm going to cut your taxes, but critical lies that led to political support for this misguided war in Iraq. Assemblyman Paul Koretz, the Democrat from West Hollywood, joins us on the line now. Assemblyman, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you much. Happy to be here.
Well, thank you, too. And I want to acknowledge your service. You're termed out in the Assembly this year and plan to run for the State Senate in 2008 when Sheila Kuehl vacates that seat. And I appreciate the work that you've been doing on a number of issues, including rights for gays and lesbians, trying to reduce gun violence in the state, reducing tobacco consumption, those sorts of things. But I really do appreciate, too, the willingness that you have shown to carry this impeachment resolution. Last week, we spoke to state legislators in Illinois and Vermont who are undertaking similar efforts. And this is based, we think, on a blogger's discovery of Thomas Jefferson's Rules for the Congress, which state that impeachment does not have to originate in Washington. It could come from state legislatures like ours here in California. So tell us what the status of this proposed resolution is, Assemblyman.
Well, I am hoping that the status is better in the other two states that have taken a similar action. Thus far, I have not been able to get it out of Rules Committee and referred to a committee for action.
Mm-hmm.
So it essentially is where it started. I have submitted the resolution, but it hasn't moved.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is because there is a bipartisan deal in the works on infrastructure bonds and other like things, and I suspect the leadership is hesitant to jeopardize that bipartisan feeling with a somewhat partisan resolution.
Mm-hmm. But this is so significant and so important. It really does trump the internal politics of the legislature, in my opinion. Now, that doesn't mean the leaders will change their positions.
Well, I have the same opinion. I struggled with this idea for a long period of time. I saw a lot of discussion of it on various blogs and saw that various Democratic committees throughout the country were passing resolutions, but no state was doing it. And I finally decided one day, well, it looks like I'm going to have to do this. Nobody else is doing it. And we moved forward. And I believe, somewhat to my surprise, Illinois wound up doing it either the same day or about the same time. So when I had submitted it, I then found out that we had both done it. But unfortunately, the leadership, at least thus far, doesn't have the same impression that this significant issue substantially outweighs anything that we could be working on as a state.
Mm-hmm. And is it Fabian Nunez, the speaker, who is blocking it?
Well, he is among them, and he's certainly the one that's primarily putting together our infrastructure bond deal,
right?
And that's clearly his focus.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't necessarily blame him for that, but he is the one I'm trying to lobby to let the bill out, along with Cindy Montanez, the chair of the Rules Committee, where the bill is currently stuck.
Assemblyman Paul Koretz with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Last Saturday night, during the state party convention, the Democratic convention, the Progressive Caucus put on a panel led by Maxine Waters in a theater that holds 1,000 people, and I understand it was packed. And what I heard from some of the people who were there participating and some people who helped organize the event is that they felt that this is reaching into the mainstream of the party, and that interest, both for political reasons, because obviously impeachment could be a strong rallying point for Democrats to take back the House and or the Senate, but also just based on the fundamental issue that this president and vice president should be held accountable. So it appears once again that the people are getting ahead of our elected leaders on a very critical issue, and I find that problematic.
Well, I agree, and I think it is there. Although, of course, the Democratic Party convention itself tends to be a little more progressive than the average Democrat, but it does run the gamut, and I'll tell you, just about everybody I talked to was absolutely thrilled with the idea of this impeachment resolution, and particularly at a meeting of the Progressive Caucus, which had about 500 people at that meeting. I was surprised. All I did was mention the fact that I had introduced this, and I got a standing ovation from literally every single person in the room.
Wow.
I was kind of shocked at the response, but it was so enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
That I think we've really struck a nerve, at least among Democrats, who recognize that Bush has exceeded the Constitution and everything from waging the war in Iraq by fooling the Congress and the American people to what he's done with torture, with electronic surveillance,
mm-hmm.
with revealing the identity of CIA operatives, and on and on.
Well, the case is certainly much stronger than a private sexual act with an intern.
You would think. You would think. I mean, it's almost laughable when you look back at what Clinton was already almost removed from office for, and the fact that Bush has taken these wildly unconstitutional actions along with his vice president, and hardly a peep has been made.
Well, and in addition, Assemblyman Koritz, and I'm not arguing with you, clearly, but when the leadership of the Assembly views your measure as partisan, we've got to zoom out for a minute and say, hold on. They have had one-party rule in Washington for a long time now, four years since the Jeffords flip. And, you know, they have operated in the most partisan manner of any administration in my lifetime. And when we try to raise issues related to the truth and reality and accountability, we are called partisan. And I'm sorry, it's bass-ackwards.
Well, you're preaching to the choir when you tell me that. I've been trying to make the same argument, but thus far without success. So I hope folks will contact their members of the State Assembly and encourage them to come on as co-authors, and to encourage them to push the speaker to let the bill out.
We're going to take a quick break and return with Assemblyman Paul Koritz. If you have a question or comment about the impeachment resolution, you can call me right now, Central Coast 831-899-5792. Or if you're listening in Eureka or anywhere else online, call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Want to welcome our new listeners in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City KSAC. Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the Concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. KRXA 540 takes a look at your ride home. 420 now. Amy Knight's on duty, and I owe you a TomTom spot.
Yes, you do.
From yesterday.
I have plenty today.
Good.
We'll talk about traffic, though, in Del Monte Forest, southbound. Actually, Highway 68 at Skyline Forest, you'll find an accident that's been cleared on 68, home and highway. And also in Soledad, southbound 101 and 146, we have an accident with two cars involved there. So you'll find that off to the right-hand shoulder. But our big problem right now, you can find in the Monterey area, eastbound 68 between Delray Oaks and Ragsdale. Caltrans doing maintenance work till 5 this afternoon and one-way traffic control in effect. So expect minor delays on 68 as you travel from Monterey towards Salinas with road work in the area. Also in Boulder Creek, Highway 35 at Gist, Caltrans doing some storm damage repair till 5 o'clock as well. Hurry into Mattress Discounters today, and on approved credit, you could sleep free for 12 months.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
A message from the Crawford, Texas Chamber of Commerce. If you've packed up and left, headed east, headed west, to seek fortune and fame in a much bigger game, we'll still welcome you back. Yes, you're on the right track. If you feel most alive on Farm Road 185, yes, if you're idolized, won a Pulitzer Prize and a Nobel or two, we're still waiting for you. Yes, if you're a big star in NASA or NASCAR, politics or the arts, come on back to these parts. Wouldn't you love a chance to kick back at the ranch with some regular folks, with some pretzels and coke for a full year or two? No one bothering you, doing just what you please, no jet flights overseas. If you put in your term as the head of a firm like FedEx or Fannie Mae, U.S. Steel or the USA, leave the media glare, getting treated unfair. You and God will be one, neath the hot Texas sun. The empire's falling, the Crawford is calling.
And Scotty McClellan wants to sit on the porch and think about what it was like in the bad old days of the Bush administration. Well, that's a kind of fantasy vision of Bush retiring to Crawford. The reality version, well, Assemblyman Paul Koretz is working on it, and it's an uphill battle in the California Assembly. He wants to put forward an impeachment resolution. It's bottled up in the Rules Committee. And Assemblyman, give us a little bit of an insider guideline here. The Rules Committee is usually chaired by a loyalist or, critically, a toady of the Speaker, And so if the speaker doesn't want it out of rules, it generally doesn't happen, right?
Well, I'm not sure I would characterize it exactly as such, but I think you have the right idea.
Well, I first started watching the legislature when Willie Brown was running it, the Ayatollah.
I think so, he had a little bit more of an iron hand than any speaker since.
Well, I think that may be true. Okay, so it's in the Rules Committee, can't get out unless the Speaker permits it. If we put pressure on Fabian Nunez, do you think he'll find a propitious moment? After all, he is a partisan Democrat, and he would probably like to see the president at least on the defensive, if not facing impeachment.
I'm sure he would, but that's not his priority. His priority is getting the business of the House done, and this year some of that is very bipartisan. So I understand where he's coming from. It's just not where my priorities are.
Mm-hmm. And do you have many allies in the assembly itself?
Well, so far we have six or seven co-authors. Mark Leno, I think, had contemplated the same idea for quite a while. When I had done it, he was very enthusiastic and asked if he could come on as a joint author. Jackie Goldberg, I believe Lonnie Hancock, and Rudy Bermudez and Jerome Horton are all have asked to be co-authors, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Bermudez. And I believe Mark Ridley Thomas as well.
Uh-huh. And I'm jotting these down because we talk to a lot of your colleagues on a regular basis. How about John Laird from Santa Cruz?
You know, I haven't discussed it with him. He would certainly be a likely possibility.
Mm-hmm. I'll talk to him about it. And how about Patty Berg from Eureka?
I know she likes the idea.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect she would be open to it if there winds up being some further momentum in the legislature.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll
and I know at least one city in her district, she's told me, has passed a resolution asking her to support it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that would be Arcata.
That is correct.
Because Arcata returned one of the first, and Santa Cruz was very early on, too, about a year and a half ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that was before I was really even seriously thinking about this, although I thought that he was deserving of impeachment long before this.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most compelling piece for me was an article written by a friend of mine who's a journalist on the East Coast, named Russell Baker, not the more famous Russell Baker.
Right, I know Russ Baker.
Russ Baker, yes.
Sure, uh-huh. I've talked with him before.
And he had done an article where he had interviewed a friend of Bush Sr. who was supposed to be the ghostwriter of the biography of Bush Jr. that was supposed to be done in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately his version wasn't published because it wasn't favorable enough to Bush Jr. because it basically was what Bush Jr. had said.
Right. Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And anything like that wouldn't be very favorable. But the key thing that came out in Russ's interview of this guy, I can't even remember his name.
Yeah, I can't either.
But the key thing that came out was that Bush Jr. had said he wants to get in a little war that's quick and easy, because if you win a quick and easy little war when you start your presidency, you'll be very successful, and essentially Congress will give him whatever he wants.
That was the Panama playbook.
I mean, which is exactly. But essentially, after 9/11, Iraq looked to be that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's quite clear that we got into this war just because it fit the easy little war to win mold. He knew, in fact, there weren't weapons of mass destruction. Saddam wasn't really in a position to defend himself. He was just strong enough to keep his own country under control, but not strong enough to do anything offensive. And so we won that quick and easy war in a couple of weeks. The trouble was that it became a long and disastrous quagmire afterwards.
And
but
on that
we
note,
got in this basically because it fit his agenda.
Right. On that note, I want to recommend Maureen Dowd's column in today's New York Times. She compares our situation to the old O. Henry story, The Ransom of Red Chief. And long story short, we're going to have to pay to get ourselves out of our self-created hostage situation there in Iraq. So, Assemblyman, just about a minute remaining here. Give our listeners some ideas of how we can help support you to get this resolution out of rules onto the floor and on its way to Washington?
Well, certainly the way to help is to call every Democratic member of the State Assembly, particularly the members in which whose districts you live in. Call the Speaker, call the Chair of Rules Committee, Cindy Montanez. And I think if all of that spreads out through the legislature and people start hearing that there really is interest out there, I think this bill will finally be able to move.
And don't call Cindy Montanez a toady, right?
No, I think that was a little harsh.
Nice to talk with you, Assemblyman. Let's do it again.
Well, that would be great. Thank you for having me.
All right, my pleasure. Paul Koretz, Assemblyman from West Hollywood. Coming up next, Money and Politics. Massey Rich joins us from OpenSecrets.org, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 BMW X5, the larger of BMW's two SUV models. My demo was assembled in the Bavarian town called Spartanburg, South Carolina, and about half the parts were made in Germany. It's got a fuel-injected 3-liter, 6-cylinder engine and a 5-speed automatic, has adequate power and acceleration. The X5 handles well, has a smooth ride, not as squishy as some of Detroit's SUVs. It's loaded with all the power toys you'd expect, including a moonroof, a navigation system that's pretty easy to use, and a premium sound system. In most respects, the X5 is comparable to the Explorer or Pathfinder with a higher price tag. By the numbers, the 2006 BMW X5 gets 16 miles in the city, 21 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $55,000. I'm Peter B. Collins.
The following is a political advertisement. Congressman Sam Farr has been working to protect our environment. Now he needs your help. Republican Richard Pombo is leading the effort to drill for oil off the California coastline. Join Congressman Farr this Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. in Carmel Valley at a reception in support for Steve Filson's campaign to unseat Richard Pombo. Steve Filson is a former Navy fighter pilot and an American patriot who will join Congressman Farr to protect our coast. Tickets are $50. Please call 925-648-9211 or visit filsonforcongress.com. Paid for by Steve Filson for Congress.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest. My prices are affordable and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast and oozing eastward into Phoenix, Arizona and Sacramento, California. And just a couple of quick program notes for our Sacramento listeners. Tomorrow, your state senator, Deborah Ortiz, will be with us in our first hour. She is a candidate for Secretary of State in the June Democratic primary. Also on the program tomorrow, John Nichols, great writer for The Nation magazine, one of my favorite people in the media reform movement. He'll be on the program in our third hour. And one more note coming up about a half an hour from now. Harvey Wasserman checks in from Columbus, Ohio. Another debacle for Diebold in yesterday's Ohio primary. Right now, we're going to talk about money. Money in politics, described as the mother's milk. Massey Rich joins us from the Center for Responsive Politics, the home of the website opensecrets.org. And Massey Rich is a former reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Hello, Massey. Welcome to our program.
Thanks, Peter. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and I've long had affection for the Center for Responsive Politics. Ellen Miller, I think, was the founder, or at least a previous executive director, and we talked on many occasions. She's moved on to another think tank or activist group.
You're right. She's now with a group called the Sunlight Foundation, which has most recently funded a new lobbying database for our site. So we've just added a pretty significant piece, or actually resumed work in a significant area on open secrets. You can track all the money spent on lobbying.
So she's still knee-deep in this work.
Ellen's addicted to it. I don't think she's going to be able to get out of it.
Yeah, and how did you get involved with this? You jumped out of journalism.
Well, I knew the center from my days as a reporter. I covered some politics, covered the 2000 presidential race, among other things, and found opensecrets.org to be a tremendous resource. What we do there and what we're best known for is tracking campaign contributions. We take a look at who's giving money to your federal candidates, and then we slice it and dice it to connect some dots. We say who they work for. We put them into an industry. We add it all up and we say how much the larger industry is giving to influence politicians. And we put it all up there for free on our website.
And it's opensecrets.org. You're up for another Webby Award this year, I understand.
We are. We're very pleased. This is our sixth straight nomination. We last won the best politics category in 2002. If I may put in an extra plug, I urge all of your listeners to go to the Webby's website where they can vote for a People's Choice Award for us. That's the big award is chosen by a panel of judges, but the people have a vote too. It's at peoplesvoice.webbyawards.com. The voting closes this Friday, May 5th, and we're in the politics category, which I believe is listed under a society section.
All right. And who funded this lobbying that you just did right now?
That is free. I'm just speaking as the communications director, and you know, it's always in my best interest to make sure we're out there communicating. Now,
I know Tiffany Schlein, the founder of the Webby Awards, so I'll do some back-channel lobbying.
Yeah, we always appreciate it. You know, we're not above influence ourselves. We track it. We know how others do it. We try to learn from them. But you ask or get to a question of how are we funded, which is something that a lot of people ask us. We are a nonpartisan, nonprofit group, and we rely on foundations, private foundations largely, for our money. A lot of the organizations that you hear listed on public television or radio, the Carnegie Endowments, Pew Charitable Trusts, the Ford Foundation, as well as some individual contributions. We don't, as a practice, take money from corporations or labor unions because of the nature of what we do. And we manage to do all of it with a pretty small but dedicated staff and a budget that we would always like to be larger.
Massey, are you in a position with Internet access right now?
I am. I'm pretty useless unless I can hook up to OpenSecrets.org.
Right. Well, go ahead and close your instant message window and that porn window, and let's go and take people on a little tour of OpenSecrets.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just went to the window here, Capitol Hill, find a politician, and I typed in Richard Pombo, and now I'm going to click go. And
yep.
Let's see what comes up for the chair of the House Resources Committee. I came up with no politicians with the last. Oh, I entered Richard Pombo. I needed to enter Pombo Richard.
Yeah, you need to, or just enter his last name. There's no one else named Pombo in Congress. P-O-M-B-O. This is all under our Who Gives tab on Open Secrets. Under Who Gets. Who Gives would be the industries that give. And it's one entry point into a member. You can do this off of the homepage or anywhere else. And there's a lot of attention on Congressman Pombo right now. He's one of the bigger recipients of money from the universe of Jack Abramoff, his lobbying clients, and some of his associates. We've been tracking that, and our data has gotten a fair amount of attention.
Mm-hmm. I just clicked on the link to his 2006 campaign. So these are more recent contributions that might not include Abramoff and the tribes that he represented.
Right. This is you're just looking at contributions for 2005 and out to the first quarter of 2006. And Congressman Pombo's taken in about $1.4 million. He spent about $500,000, according to our tally. And he's got about $1 million in the bank.
Yeah, and part of that for almost $500,000 that he spent, I believe his wife is on the payroll of his campaign committee.
It's pretty common, or it's not uncommon, let's put it that way, for politicians to have members of their family on their payrolls. Now, it always, this is more than common, it always raises questions, and valid questions, I think. There's nothing against the law about it, as long as they're receiving a fair salary for what they're listed as doing. They're not being overpaid for their work, and that they have some qualifications to justify being hired. The argument you hear from the politicians usually is, you know, who better to handle my campaign's money, deal with constituents, than the people I trust most, my family members. And, you know, that's, I think, certainly a valid argument. What has been getting a lot of attention, though, if we can talk about another congressman from California, is Congressman Doolittle.
Oh, yes, Julie, who gets a commission.
Right. That's an unusual arrangement, to have a member of the family paid by the campaign for services on a commission basis. She's apparently doing fundraising,
right.
And for every dollar she raises, she gets a 15% cut or something like that.
Well,
that's
and
a
as,
practice.
As a community property state, as a former Californian, you know that.
Right.
It is imputed as income to both parties. So, in essence, John Doolittle is taking 15 cents out of every donor dollar and putting it in his pocket.
And that's why it's got so many people making noise about it. It's also just a very unusual arrangement in fundraising in general. Even if she were not his wife, taking a commission is certainly in the nonprofit fundraising world, the world that my center works in, is against best practices. It's not considered to be the ethical way to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the political fundraising world, it's not thought to be the best way to operate.
Indeed. I'd love to see it banned, but I'm not currently equipped with a vote to do that. We're talking with Massey Rich. We're looking at the website opensecrets.org. We're currently examining some of the data here that's posted about Republican Congressman Richard Pombo from the Stockton-Tracy Alamo Livermore district that is quite a doozy. He's getting about 46% of his current funding from political action committees, and 80.9% of those are business-based. He gets 2.3% of his money from labor, and you believe that your information is 99.7% accurate based on disclosure from Pombo and his committees. You point out here, I'm now over on the left column, Massey, there's information about total raised, where the money came from. Ooh, we'll have to click on that in a second. Top industries, top contributors, sector totals, expenditures, and indirect expenditures. Explain to our listeners what an IE is.
Well, that's something we've added, and it's for the real lovers of the nitty-gritty. But this is in addition to the direct contributions that are made to candidates. Many committees spend money on their own to influence elections.
Mm-hmm.
And independent expenditures include things that, such as advertisements that expressly advocate the election or defeat of a specific candidate. There's no dollar limit on them, but to qualify as being independent, they have to be made without any coordination with a candidate. So, they're not supposed to talk to the person. There's not supposed to be any communication between the campaign and the person who's making the independent expenditure. There are other kinds as well, but that's a particularly common one.
Well, and we have one of those currently underway in the Democratic governor's primary here in California. Phil Angelides is less funded than Steve Wesley, the eBay multimillionaire. Mm-hmm. And so Angelides' friend Angelo Sakopoulos has put together an independent expenditure committee that's spending at least $5 million running TV commercials in support of Angelides. It is out in the open, but questions have been raised about whether there is the distance between the campaign and the independent expenditure committee, and that is an issue that I think should be fully explored. Now, I want to click, we're going to go to a break in a minute, so let me click on one more item here for Congressman Pombo, and this is the sector page, and it's loading right now. And it shows, for example, the leading contributors are miscellaneous business, energy, natural resources, that's oil, gas, timber, that sort of thing, agribusiness, and then you have an interesting entry here, ideology, single issue. What's collated into that listing, Matthew?
Well, there's a lot in there. It's everything from other political parties, Republican and Democratic contributions on other campaigns, to gun issue groups, abortion mm-hmm. issue groups, pro-Israel. It's a real hodgepodge, and it's neither a Republican nor a Democrat sector. But this is it's all up here. These sectors are sort of the broadest way to look at where the money's coming from, and then you can break it down within the sector to industry, so you can mm-hmm. get as specific under energy, natural resource as timber or as coal mining.
Okay. And now I'm switching over to geographic totals because I want to see where that, there it is, $12,000 from Mashpee, Massachusetts, which to my knowledge is not a part of the district, and that's where one of the Abramoff client Indian gambling tribes is based. And in the current campaign cycle, they've donated $12,000, or at least that's what might appear from this listing.
Yeah, it's not uncommon to see a sitting member of Congress get money from outside the district, from people who could never vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
Congressmen sit on committees that have jurisdiction well beyond the boundaries of their districts, and you typically see industries and other interests that care about the committee and their work
mm-hmm.
Giving heavily to that particular member.
We're talking with Massey Rich. He's from the Center for Responsive Politics. They operate the website opensecret.org. When we return, we'll turn the tables and we'll take a look at the funding of a Democrat. I'm thinking of Congressman Mike Thompson from the Eureka North State area. But if you have somebody else you'd like us to examine, give us a call during the break and we'll take a look. You can call me on the Central Coast at 831-899-5792 or toll free from anywhere within the sound of my voice at 888-579-2540. Money and politics, that's what we're talking about on the Peter B. Collins Show. Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
There are many ways fathers are involved in their children's lives. There are stay-at-home dads, working dads, and fathers who are separated from their kids through divorce or other circumstances. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me to discuss the ways fathers stay connected with their children.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Do you care about issues affecting the working men and women of our community? Healthcare, immigration, the warmerization of our economy, social justice issues in general.
If you care, there's a show for you. It's called Labor Matters, hosted by Jose Mendez and myself, Ren Bradley. Please join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon.
Don't give up the fight.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove. KRXA 540 with a look at your traffic on the ride home. 449 now, and here's Amy Knight.
A new accident just coming in, possibly with some live wires down in the roadway, 7th at Capitola. We'll keep you posted on that accident in our next report as details just coming in. Southbound 1 after Morrissey Boulevard. Good news, an earlier accident now cleared off the highway, but traffic still may be slow on Highway 1 as you pass the scene. Also, 68 between Delray Oaks and Ragsdale. Caltrans doing some maintenance work till 5, so they should be wrapping up that quickly and picking up those cones fairly soon, but you still might find some delays as you leave work early this afternoon. TomTom is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour, and I'm glad we're even on the TomTom.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Fifty minutes past the hour. I'm your humble host on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call me Peter. Coming up just after the top of the hour, we'll go to Columbus, Ohio, where the O is optional, for a live report from Harvey Wasserman about yesterday's Ohio primary. And once again, the Diebold machines are all messed up. Our music of the moment from U2. The song is called Out of Control, in my opinion. Campaign finance, out of control in this country. It is a legalized form of bribery and, in some cases, long-term leases. We see the extremes in Randy Duke Cunningham, now behind bars in Southern California, after admitting to a couple of million dollars in bribes. We now know he got some hookers and poker games, and he had the yacht on the Potomac. And that, of course, is the very extreme measure or the extreme example. But Massey Rich from the Center for American, for the Center for Responsive Politics, in your view, is the whole system corrupt and even the most honorable people end up being squeezed or at least offering better access to the people who paid for their campaigns?
Well, we certainly have some high-profile examples of corruption right now, but it is important to remember that not everyone is taking bribes, as far as we know.
I want to leave that impression. It's simply that it costs so much to run a campaign now. Members and senators spend so much of their time raising money. You can see them on their cell phones wandering around the Capitol because they can't make those calls from their taxpayer-funded offices. And it's a real drag on the system. And when you talk to a politician and you say, could you imagine a career without fundraising, and they just dance a little jig.
Yeah, I think if you were to ask pretty much any member of Congress, that's at least the ones that we track, they would say, I'd love to free up a huge portion of my day to actually represent the people who put me in office and not have to make fundraising calls and go to all these receptions and events. But as you point out, Peter, the cost of running for office, whether you win or lose, is expensive. And unless the taxpayers are raising their hands and saying, we'll pay for this, I think we're stuck with a system that relies on outside private money to fund it.
Mm-hmm. Well, now let's take a look at a Democrat, because I want to be even-handed here. Not fair and balanced, just even-handed. Mike Thompson is a Democrat from the North State. He represents our listeners in the Eureka area. And so far, he's reporting raising just under $1.1 million in this current cycle. Has about half a million on hand, so he's spent a large portion of that, $800,000, even before the campaign gets underway. Now, is a lot of that transfers to the leadership PACs like DCCC and some of these other political action committees that are set up so they can pass money around to weaker candidates?
It could be some of that, but I doubt that he's given away that much. Even the incumbents who are in safe seats still spend what would seem to you and me like a lot of money, and that's one reason they say they stay safe. If you raise a lot of money, spend a lot of money, that's a warning to any potential challengers. Think twice before you come after me, because I've got a lot of money in the bank.
Now, Thompson has a higher percentage than Pombo of individual contributions, 60% to about 53% for Pombo. And, of course, that's reflected in lower rates of PAC contributions, 37.4% for Thompson. It's about 43% for Pombo. And so you do get a sense. Let's go to top contributors here to see who Mike Thompson's big friends are. And it's taking a little while for the page to load here. Okay. Lockheed Martin, $10,000. AKT Development, I'm not sure who that is, $21,000. Let's see. A lot
of wineries on this list, and that's to be expected given the area he represents generally. Over his whole career in Congress, the number one contributor is the beer, wine, and liquor industry, and those are largely wineries out there in California.
Yeah. I went to a Thompson reception once, and there was plenty of wine there.
Yeah. I guess that's probably one benefit to representing the area is you can raise a little extra money thanks to the lubricating power of your area's number one crop.
So how do we, if we are looking for any patterns where we think that contributions might be linked to votes or other official actions, how do we track that at opensecrets.org?
Well, there are a number of ways you can do it, and now, of course, we always appreciate when you tell us about it because then we'll publicize it to a pretty wide audience. In addition to opensecrets.org, we operate a newsletter site called capitalEye.org. That's capital E-Y-E. And that's where we post original journalism of our own based on the data that we have. But if someone wants to do this on an individual level, there are a number of entry points here on the website. One that I wanted to point out to people, which is always kind of fun, you mentioned Diebold, the voting machine maker, among other things. They do elevators and that, or escalators, whatever it is they do.
And safes. They originally made safes.
And, all that sort of stuff.
Right.
If you wanted to find out who individuals associated with that company gave money to, you can do that on our site. We have a tab at the top called Who Gives, and you would use our donor lookup. Mm-hmm. And then you would enter Diebold under the employer, and you'd see all the contributions for a certain period of time from people who listed the company as their employer, and there are quite a few. And just in doing a search of the last three election cycles, it's close to $52,000. A lot of them are in Ohio, coming from Ohio. And they are giving a lot of money to Republicans, certainly. George W. Bush is coming up a lot on the list, but Hillary Clinton's on there, so is John Kerry.
Emily's list, yeah.
Sure. And the companies, of course, themselves can no longer give money from their corporate treasury. These are individuals associated with the company, typically employees. We also track spouses of employees. And that's how we add all of this up to say the industry as a whole is giving a certain amount of money to politicians. Another fun feature that people always enjoy, it brings out the sort of inner spy in them is that on the donor lookup, you can enter a zip code, and most people enter their own zip code, and they can find out who their neighbors are giving money to.
Oh, very interesting. Massey Rich, just about a minute remaining. I wanted to ask you if you know anything about the $1 million roundtable. I think we sent along to you some purloined documents that a listener had sent to us.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know if you've been talking about it with your larger listenership.
Yeah, they know a little bit about it.
Yeah, it looked to me like actually more like a gimmick than anything particularly nefarious. You know, you'll commonly see in these fundraising pleas a sort of whisper from the candidate that, you know, I'm really going to let you in on what's going on, what's actually going on. And they come up with all sorts of ways to make you think you're on the inner circle. This one seemed fairly elaborate. There's a number, a toll-free number, I guess you call, and you enter a code. I haven't tried it yet. I imagine they won't let me into their circle. But
I have a teenager who could get you in there in 20 minutes.
Well, probably so. And, you know, that may be all that it is. Just that's my read on it.
All right. Well, Massey, we're out of time, so I want to thank you. And if there's any follow-up on that, get in touch with us. And we'll talk again as the campaign season heats up.
Thanks so much.
Massey Rich, and again, the website, opensecrets.org. A live report from Ohio next.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
In the case of United States versus Zacharias Moussaoui, the jury has found the defendant should be sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of release.
This is Barry Bagnato in Alexandria, Virginia. Three jurors determined Moussaoui had no direct knowledge of the September 11th attack plans. That decision toppled the government's attempt to win a death penalty. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
Last week in closing arguments, they pointed to Zacharias Moussaoui and they called him a mass murderer, but there was never an independent concrete link in the evidence between Moussaoui and the hijackers.
Deliberations dragged on for more than 41 hours before the decision was reached. Moussaoui, who did everything in his power in this case to sabotage his own lawyers, claimed in the end that he won and that America lost. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
The government at all levels has been preparing for a potential pandemic of bird flu.
One of the reasons you don't have the vaccine is you can't produce it until you actually know the genetic makeup of the virus that is the basis of the pandemic.
Presidential Assistant Francis Townsend's point is whatever causes a pandemic will be a mutation of what's out there now. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
The report stops short of calling for mandatory quarantines. The government would plan to isolate travelers. The report also suggests that campuses or other places where people live in close quarters should plan for quarantine areas.
And there's a common sense suggestion. Families, make your own plans for what to do if bird flu sweeps the nation. President Bush met with Republican and Democratic leaders today talking about oil prices and what can be done.
I really do appreciate the members from both political parties thinking strongly about how we can work together to serve the American consumer and make us less dependent on foreign sources of oil.
House Democrat Bart Stupak of Michigan.
The American people are quite fed up with the price gouging that's going on at the gasoline pump. They know gouging when they see it. And they're being gouged.
Experts say the problem is the oil industry mergers have shrunk the number of companies that run the business, and they don't refine more gas because they choose not to. A landmark agreement has been reached to get the sugar out of the school vending machines. Former President Bill Clinton, key to the deal.
If an 8-year-old child consumes 45 fewer calories a day, every day for a decade, when the child graduates from high school, he or she will weigh 20 pounds less.
President Clinton, once the butt of a thousand jokes for his weight and his dietary choices, got really serious about his health after the heart surgery. Tiger Woods lost his dad today. Earl Woods was 74. It was recurring prostate cancer that got him. Everyone remembers the moment after the 97 Masters in Augusta, the hug that made dads and sons feel good everywhere.
We'll remember that one for a while, a 12-shot victory, and, of course, the famous hug at the end with his dad behind the green.
That's David Faraday, CBS Sports golf analyst. On Wall Street, the Dow was off 16 points to close at 11,400. The Nasdaq lost nearly 6. This is CBS News.
If your sinus congestion comes with pain, it's time to clear something up about sinus medicine. Some sinus medicines treat congestion, but not pain. New Tylenol Sinus is different. It gives more complete relief by combining the pure pain relief of Tylenol with powerful sinus medicine. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Sinus. Take only as directed.
Where do you want to be?
I'll bet you a dollar if we look on Remax.com, we'll just find Remax listings.
I bet you're wrong.
Okay, let's see. Remax, Remax, somebody else, somebody else.
Looks like all the listings to me.
Why would Remax do that?
To give us consumers what we want.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, way cool.
Just like you.
Yeah, thanks, but you still owe me a dollar.
Find your perfect place. It's easier than ever at Remax.com. Nobody sells more real estate than Remax. Each office independently owned and operated.
Here's an idea from the U.S. Postal Service, the Forever Stamp.
Tired of buying new stamps every time the price of postage goes up? The Postal Service proposing a Forever Stamp that would stay valid in spite of future rate increases. If approved, you could potentially stock up on them, saving money. Helene and her husband live in Philadelphia, just two of the millions relying on U.S. mail, which has meant dealing with a combination of stamps.
Every so often we go into this post office and buy a roll of stamps. You know, we stock up on 2-cent stamps also.
But Postal Service officials say it will take almost a year to get the Forever Stamp approved, printed, and ready to sell. The question is, will Helene buy one?
Depends on the price.
Michelle Durham, CBS News, Philadelphia.
It's tough work carrying and delivering the mail through rain, sleet, snow, in the dead of night. In the Flatbush section of Brooklyn, New York, a letter carrier is accused of lightening his load considerably and illegally. The fire department found 10 big bags of undelivered mail burning like a bonfire. Mailman busted. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
How hard can it be? You put up a sign, you just wait for the offers to roll in. It becomes a second job.
Getting the house appraised and the comps.
The money that you think you're going to save, you end up losing.
I've bought and sold homes before, and now the first thing I do is call a realtor.
Realtors have the experience to price your home so it can sell for up to 16% more than selling it yourself.
Using a realtor is a smart financial decision.
Get the facts straight about selling your own home. Talk to an agent and be sure to ask if that agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
It's way too risky to sell your house on your own.
This Mother's Day, give your mother the gift that will last as long as a mother's love. Have a star named after her. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will send your mom a beautiful personalized gift package with her chosen star. You may also include a sterling silver bracelet and heart charm with your mother's name and star location engraved on it. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com so she'll have her gift for Mother's Day.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, now heard on 1240 Talk City, KSAC in Sacramento, as well as KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Joining our previous stations, KRXA Monterey and KGOE Eureka. Wherever you happen to be, I'm glad to have you listening. We're going to head into the free speech zone in just a couple of minutes. Topic A, the jury's verdict, rejecting the government's desire to kill Zacharias Moussaoui. I think this is an important moment, and it shows that a jury can bring justice in this country. On the other hand, there's always Ohio. Ah, the Buckeye State of my birth. Some people think that's what the B stands for in Peter B. Collins. And yesterday was primary election day in Ohio. And just a few glitches with those Diebold voting machines. We go to Harvey Wasserman, our man on the ground in Columbus, Ohio, where that O is optional. He and Bob Fitrakis wrote the book, How the GOP Stole America's 2004 Election and is Rigging 2008. And he joins us. You can also read their work at freepress.org. Harvey, how are you today?
Peter B., how are you, my man?
I'm doing great. It's nice to talk with you.
Yes, indeed. And we see once again that J. Kenneth Blackwell will never lose an election where he's responsible for the vote count.
Well, it does seem that he did really well yesterday, but did he have serious opposition?
The guy was serious. He's the attorney general, and they really went at it. It was an incredible campaign. Two Republicans just slamming each other like there was no tomorrow. It really kind of blew everybody's mind. I guess these guys really don't like each other. But Blackwell won pretty handily, and there were some fascinating moments in the election polling. Mm-hmm. A guy in Cleveland destroyed two voting machines out of frustration.
Really?
They weren't working. Plus, you know, I voted yesterday, and the voting machine I voted on was totally out in the open. There was no curtain, no nothing. I mean, it was simple as pie for election workers to see who I was voting for. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
And then I complained. I asked for a paper receipt, and they looked at me like I was totally nuts. And I said, well, you know, that's how Bush won last time. And I was not quite escorted out, but it was not the not the friendliest moment I've experienced in my life in Ohio. But I will tell you the most important thing, which is my co-conspirator, Bob Fetrakis, did turn in 11,000 signatures to put himself on the ballot as the Green Party candidate for governor.
Oh, that's great.
But it was not without incident.
Yeah.
They were roundly harassed when they brought the ballots down to the Secretary of State's office. They were not exactly welcomed with open arms. The media has not covered it at all. One film crew was assaulted, basically, by police officers outside the Secretary of State's office. And when asked when they would be certified, they only needed 5,000 approved signatures. So going in with 11,000 is a pretty good bet.
Right.
And when asked when there would be certification, they said, well, call back in June or July. So, you know, this is and this is a campaign that's starting now.
Yeah.
There is a serious Democrat running for the governorship against Blackwell, but it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's in the bag. He's got the memory cards for this election in his office. The Democrats have yet to raise the issue, and unless they do, they're just wasting everybody's time.
So the Associated Press reports that with 97% of precincts reporting, Ken Blackwell got 56%, and his opponent named Jim Petro got 44% or so.
Yeah, it was a pretty clear victory.
You and I have talked in particular about the November 2005 referendum election in Ohio, where the results on key measures appeared to be exactly the mirror opposite of the pre-election polls. How do the pre-election polls play with the published results here in the Republican gubernatorial primary? Blackwell.
Well, this time, Blackwell had a pretty legitimate lead over Petro. He's much better known. He's an African American, which I guess brought him some support. But he's totally the candidate of the extreme right-wing fundamentalists, which is interesting. Because Ted Strickland, Blackwell's opponent, is actually a minister, and so here the right wing fundamentalists are going to be mounting their hate campaign against a minister. It's pretty wild. Now Strickland has been the a congressman from Southern Ohio, but he is a Methodist and does preach the word of God here. So we're going to see how this shapes up. It's going to be a little bit interesting, but the outcome, as far as I'm concerned, is a foregone conclusion. Ken Blackwell will be governor of Ohio because the Democrats just don't have the gumption to face the election theft issue and still haven't even talked about what happened in 2004.
We're talking with Harvey Wasserman in Columbus, Ohio, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, returning to yesterday's primary, I've read accounts that there were Diebold machines that were not equipped with the proper three-prong plug, that didn't operate when the election workers tried to boot them up, didn't produce the paper record. We don't want to call it a receipt because it's not actually handed to the voter, but that there were serious deficiencies in Diebold's performance, particularly in Cuyahoga County, where Cleveland is.
Right, and of course, as you know, three election workers in Cuyahoga County have been indicted for voter fraud stemming from the 2004 election. But unfortunately, they're just small fish, and I think they just got caught in a crossfire up there. But some of the machines in Cuyahoga and Cleveland didn't even start. You know, they showed up, and they couldn't get them going. And ballots were loaded
some ballots in Franklin County, which is Columbus, appeared without school levies on them. Mm-hmm. In other words, you know, these counties were voting, these towns were voting for school levies, and you go to look for it, and it's not on the ballot, which is what happened in Hamilton County in 2004 when absentee ballots went out without the name of John Kerry on them. Mm-hmm. So it seems like they're, you know, continuing in their pattern of crazy abuse here. But, you know, I did ask very explicitly for a paper, something on paper to indicate how I voted. And, you know, they just looked at me like I was from outer space.
Yeah.
So it's still going on. And 2006, I have very little hope for in terms of the Democrats doing anything decent in Ohio because they still won't face the issue.
Here's a post from Brad Friedman at BradBlog today. He said the panoply of problems in Cuyahoga County included failed Diebold machines, lack of working power outlets and three-prong adapters, machines unable to start up, voters unable to vote, paper jams on the paper trail printers, and 17,000 absentee ballots that must now be counted by hand because they don't work with Diebold's optical scanners.
Right. It's a monument to planning. It's kind of how we went into Iraq, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Same genius strategies here, and it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy who was in charge of this fiasco is going to be a governor. And I'll tell you another thing. This is a wild one. The governor of Ohio, Bob Taft, the only sitting criminal governor in the United States, guilty of at least four misdemeanor counts, four pleaded guilty to, is now pushing a law that would make it illegal for anyone to get access to papers that are involved with government decision making in the state of Ohio. This is a broad censorship, you know, Government Secrecy Act, which, if in one way of interpreting it is, if an aide hands Kenneth, the governor, at this point Bob Taft, the Columbus Dispatch, the main paper in Columbus, you won't be able to have access to it. Because mm-hmm. it helped them make decisions. They are wrapping this state up. It is, you know, somewhere between Paraguay and Uruguay in terms of a
banana
republic here.
Let me know when bananas start to become the top cash crop and beat corn in Ohio. Harvey, we've got a caller. Eugenia from Salinas, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
I was listening to you talk, and the thought crossed my mind that the sum equals the total of the parts.
Okay.
So that means if one state is goofy, like Ohio, why couldn't the other states challenge that total, their total?
Well, we don't have any jurisdiction. For example, California can't tell Ohio how to conduct its elections sort of thing.
No, no, no. Say in federal court.
Uh-huh.
If the sum equals the total of the parts and there's something wrong with one of the parts, it affects the whole total.
Well, in terms of the presidential in 2004, you're absolutely right. Go ahead, Harvey.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, they stole it fair and square here in Ohio in 2004. And I just saw a new book on the exit polls, which was devastating. I mean, the exit polls showed John Kerry ahead in Ohio by more than 4 percentage points as late as 12:20 at night. And by 9 in the morning, Bush had won by 2.5, is more than 6% switch. It's totally impossible. Well, not totally. I mean, technically. We call it a virtual statistical impossibility.
Correct.
And those kinds of things went on all over the United States. And more is coming out, but unfortunately we don't have no support from the Democratic Party and certainly no support from the major media.
Yeah.
Well,
Eugenia, I'm sorry. I got to run because we're late for a break here. And, Harvey, I want to thank you for joining us. Is there a new edition?
Come see us at freepress.org and harveywasserman.com.
Okay, and is there a new edition of How the GOP Stole America's 2004 Election and is Rigging 2008?
We are working on it, there will be a new one. At this point in time, it is the definitive volume. And if you want to see what really happened with thumbnail sketches point by point, take a look at it. Come see us at freepress.org.
Thank you very much, Harvey. We'll talk to you again soon. That's Harvey Wasserman in Columbus, Ohio. Coming up next, we talk about the Moussaoui verdict and anything else you want to discuss. The Free Speech Zone is open at 1-888-579-2540 here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
When it comes to the safety of your family in Monterey County, you have a clear choice to elect a sheriff we can all be proud of, Robert Owen. He's running for sheriff because he has 30 years' experience in law enforcement, with the integrity and skill necessary to provide visionary leadership for the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen's campaign refuses to take large special interest donations. You can't say that about the other candidates who want to be your sheriff. On June 6, vote for the sheriff who will work for the people of Monterey County. Vote Robert Owen, sheriff.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 takes a look at traffic. 520 now on the ride home. Here's Amy Knight.
Lots to talk about. We'll start with Live Oak, 7th at Capitola. An earlier accident is cleared. In Aptos, southbound 1 at State Park Drive. Watch out for a drive shaft in the slow lane. And in Greenfield, something interesting, 12th at Elm, always like to talk about. A large pool in the middle of the intersection. So BHP is on the way to move that out of the roadway. In Monterey, Del Monte at Sloat, you'll find Caltrans doing some, they're resurfacing the lanes and fixing storm drains till mid-June. And as you can tell, its traffic is very heavy in the area, so expect delays. REI's anniversary sale starts Friday, May 5th. Save up to 30% in every department. Visit one of REI's 8 Bay Area locations or shop at REI.com. Yes, our fine friends. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your humble host, Peter B. And if you're a new listener in Phoenix or Sacramento and you're saying, who the hell is this guy? Why don't you take a trip to peterbcollins.com and we'll do a little susplaining to you. That's where you can find information about me, the program, links to our archives and our live stream. And I want you to listen to this tune a little bit. It's Joe Jackson. The song is called The Verdict, and I am quite pleased and somewhat relieved that the jury in the Zacharias Moussaoui trial declined to sentence him to death.
Did you do me right?
did I do right by you when I bared my soul and seemed you did not hear? Can this be true? Am I a fool to fight? I could do just what you say, but I'm following my heart, and that takes me another way. It's not easy when there's no one giving prizes at the end.
Thank you, Joe. Yes, as you've heard on this program over the last few weeks, we've talked about it at length, and our commentator, our legal expert, was on the program yesterday discussing this, Marjorie Cohn from San Diego's Thomas Jefferson School of Law. And it is remarkable the extent to which our government went to try to win a death warrant for this bit player in the Al-Qaeda attacks on our country. And I am really pleased to see that the jury was not distracted or misled by the ridiculous presentation that the government put on, including the so-called or the alleged 9/11 tapes from Flight 93, as they tried to use every emotional tool possible to confuse this jury and make it seem like Zacharias Moussaoui was, Sheikh Khalid Mohammed or Osama bin Laden himself. And for me, the BS detector went off when Moussaoui took the stand, contradicted himself, and said that he and Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, were supposed to fly a plane into the Capitol or the White House. And he is a guy who wanted to become a martyr. As one commentator pointed out, he had a death wish and the government was cooperating with him on it. Fortunately, the jury saw through it. And it does help restore some of my faith in the American system of government. Likewise, our sources indicate that Karl Rove will be indicted by the end of this week. As always, the caveat is it could change because he's in a very powerful position, and this is an administration that has used every available method to enhance its power and defend itself from attacks. And they view Patrick Fitzgerald as an attacker. I don't. He's fighting for us, fighting for the truth about the cavalier way that they outed Valerie Plame. And Larissa Alexandrovna from Raw Story is often on our program on Wednesdays. She had to decline today because of other commitments. But she has broken the story to her credit that was finally confirmed by MSNBC in a broadcast last night. They didn't give Larissa or Raw Story appropriate credit, but they did affirm that when the cover of Valerie Plame Wilson was blown, it also blew the cover on the most effective monitoring system that we had in place about Iran's intention to develop nuclear weapons or weapons of mass destruction. So, in trying to defend the White House from its lies that led us to the war in Iraq, they made us more vulnerable to the current threat, which is highly overblown, but basically real nonetheless, from Iran. And I think that speaks volumes about this administration. So watch carefully. Stay tuned to this program. We will update you, but we understand the grand jury met in Washington this morning, did approve the indictment of Rove, we believe, for perjury and for lying to investigators. We're not sure about account of obstruction of justice. And if it goes according to plan, there will be an announcement tomorrow of a news conference on Friday where Prosecutor Fitzgerald would publicize this development. Let's go to the phones now. I want to hear your comments on Moussaoui, Rove, any other subject. 888-579-2540 is our toll-free line. Jake in Arcata, you're up first. Good afternoon.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
Pretty good.
You know, it is beginning to look a lot like Fitzmas. You know, I've been waiting at least 6 months now for these indictments to come down on Karl Rove. It's about time. You know, this is the linchpin. Once Rove is indicted, I don't see Rove protecting these people. I see Rove turning on these people and squealing like a pig. And, you know, frankly, I think that's what's about to happen. We're about to see infighting up at the topest levels of our government. We got the White House. Basically, you're going to have Bush and Cheney pitted against each other to see which one has to resign first. And I'm just thrilled that Democratic legislators like Paul Koretz, for instance, are getting out there. and saying what needs to be said and doing what needs to be done. I mean, the fact is it's no longer time for Democrats to hang back and hope that things work out. No, we need to make this happen. And as soon as Karl Rove is indicted, the cries for impeachment should ring throughout the land, Peter.
Well, and we need timid Democrats to, put aside the charges that they are partisan for trying to expose the wrongdoings of a highly partisan team.
That's right. I mean, who are the Republicans that call anybody partisan? They just got done a few years ago impeaching a Democratic president with a 65% approval rating for a private matter that had nothing to do with his job, okay? This guy in the White House, George Bush, if you saw the latest Gallup poll, 34%, fifth lowest rating for any president ever in that poll, okay? America does not want this guy in the White House anymore. And it's time for the Democrats to quit pretending it's 2002, it's 2006. America's moved on. We're not all as scared as apparently some senators and congressmen are there in Washington. We want Bush and Cheney out. They've screwed up the country. They've sent our young people to die in Iraq for a lie, and it's time that Bush and Cheney go.
Well, and they have violated their oaths of office. There is a fundamental legal basis. This is not just politics. This is not just a desire to throw these particular bums out, but they have earned the censure and impeachment that I think should evolve here. Thank you, Jake. More of your calls coming up in a moment. 888-579-2540. I want to hear from you, a first-time caller today on The Peter B. Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Every business has a black and white copier.
Yet color packs more punch, demands more attention, and projects a more powerful image.
The Sharp MX Series Multifunctional Products.
Advanced color document systems that not only copy, print, scan, and fax, but also feature high-quality printing in both color and black and white from the same MFP.
All for a surprisingly low total cost of ownership. And with Sharp's advanced image stabilization and microfine toner technology.
The MX series produces ultra-vivid documents and extraordinary color image quality, page after page.
Sharp's MX series.
Workgroup document systems designed to provide exceptional performance and productivity day after day. In-house for less money.
Tri-County Business Systems, solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216. That's 1-800-339-6216.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. The Tasty Planet Radio Show is sponsored by the Monterey Bay Aquarium's 5th Annual Cooking for Solutions on May 19th and 20th. For ticket information, call 866-963-9644 or go to the web at montereybayaquarium.org.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, The Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. It's the Peter B. Collins Show on the Left Coast. I'm glad you're listening. We're in the free speech zone, where you can call and talk about any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And if you're one of our new listeners in Phoenix or Sacramento, you hear our program on a delayed basis in the nighttime, you can call in during our free speech hour, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, most weekdays. And that number is 888-579-2540. And that's the number that our live listeners can call in on right now. The switchboard is wide open, so give us a call. As I mentioned at the top of the show today, this is one of those days when I wish I had an extra 2 or 3 hours because there's so many topics and simply not enough time to delve into all of them. We talked earlier today about impeachment, David Swanson proposing that we impeach Cheney first. Assemblyman Paul Koretz told us that he's having trouble getting support and getting his resolution for impeachment out of the Rules Committee in the State Assembly. We also heard from Massey Rich at the Center for Responsive Politics. Their website is powerful. And if you want to know whose money is fueling your favorite politician or your nemesis politician, you can go to opensecrets.org. All those are up for grabs, plus the vote in Ohio, the developments in our speculation on Karl Rove's impending indictment, and the result, the surprising verdict from the jury in the penalty phase of the Moussaoui trial. All of those and more. And I have more right here in my hot little hands. For example, I'd like to know your thoughts about Stephen Colbert and his incredible and devastating satirical delivery at the White House Correspondents' Dinner last Saturday night. And if you're so inclined, next time you're on the web, go to thankyoustephencolbert.org. And you need to know that there's a T on the end of Colbert. He doesn't pronounce it. And if you go there, you have access to the clip, in case you haven't had a chance to see it yet. It's also in the archives at crooksandliars.com. Probably other places around the web. But if you go to thankyoustephencolbert.org, you can scroll down and somewhere from this morning, you'll see a comment posted by a guy named Peter B. Collins. You can add your own. But it's interesting, the New York Times, which in its initial reporting on the White House Correspondents' Dinner, either barely mentioned or completely ignored Stephen Colbert's participation in the event, now has an article taking a look at the reaction to Colbert's comments. And, for example, they print this one from a guy identified as Noam Schieber at the New Republic. He wrote, "I'm a big Stephen Colbert fan, a huge Bush detractor, and I think the White House press corps has been out to lunch for much of the last 5 years. But he was there in the audience, and he says, I laughed out loud maybe twice during Colbert's entire 20-odd-minute routine. Colbert's problem, blogosphere conspiracy theories notwithstanding, is that he just wasn't very entertaining." Now, I don't agree. I've watched that clip twice. It is not only entertaining. It cuts to the bone. And it was a devastating indictment of the work of the White House press corps and the Washington press contingent in general. So I'd like to hear your thoughts. If you've seen the Colbert clip, do you think it was not funny? I think it was very funny and very telling.
888-579-2540 if you'd like to join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. New update on space battles of the future. We are developing weapons for that purpose. Did you know that? William J. Broad wrote a piece in today's New York Times. He's a great science reporter. And he says the Bush administration is seeking to develop a powerful ground-based laser weapon that would use beams of concentrated light to destroy enemy satellites in orbit. The largely secret project, parts of which have been made public through Air Force budget documents submitted to Congress. They're part of a wide-ranging effort to develop space weapons, both defensive and offensive. No treaty or law currently forbids such work. I'm deeply opposed to this. We should not be weaponizing space. We should not be turning space into some sort of a military battleground. And it's something that we need to stop, and I hope you'll pay attention to that and let your elected leaders know that you oppose it. To the phones we go. Pat in Eureka. You're on the air on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing today?
Pretty good.
Good. Yeah, you know, I was just commenting on the Stephen Colbert thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hadn't heard anything about it up until today, and I went to HuffingtonPost.com, and that was the first that I saw of anything about it. And I think, to me, the more telling thing is the fact of just, and you kind of alluded to it too, is just zero coverage.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, the mainstream media who obviously, you know, I mean, who wants to look at themselves, you know, because they have to look at themselves in the mirror. And I haven't even seen the video. I read it.
Yeah.
And my personal feeling is if I laugh out loud if I'm reading it, I can't imagine what it's like if he's actually doing it, because Colbert is so good at the zing that, I mean, it's got to be hilarious.
Well, and honestly, for me, Colbert runs hot and cold. There are times on his nightly show where I start to lose interest because all he's doing is his Bill O'Reilly send-up. And then he often, you know, the writing for the show saves it and keeps my attention. But when I watched the clip from the correspondent's dinner, the only thing that I really noticed was how uncomfortable he made the members of the audience, both politicians and reporters. Some of them are journalists. Not everybody who reports is a journalist.
Yeah.
And I think that what he had to say just made them deeply uncomfortable and made them think about their own failings.
I have to agree with you 100% because I looked at it and, you know, I read it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no filter other than the words.
Right. And should we then assume that the corporate media is thin-skinned, has no sense of humor, and needs to cover up its own flaws?
Well, you know, there's always the issue of, you know, I mean, there's individuals, the reporters, the journalists, as you were, you know, who wants to sit there and have to take themselves to task? And I think that that's part of it. I don't even think it's a corporate issue so much as an individual issue.
Yeah.
You know, the only person that in my opinion, has any right to say anything back to Stephen Colbert is maybe, what's her face, the journalist that questioned Bush.
Helen Thomas.
Helen Thomas, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I blanked on that. You know, I mean, she's about the only person that can say anything. I mean, she tries.
Yeah.
She just doesn't get, you know, asked to ask a question. But beyond that, they've been lapdogs.
Right.
And, you know, a lapdog doesn't bite its owner.
Thank you, Pat. Good to have you listening. I believe you're a first-time caller.
Second.
All right. Well,
thanks for
checking in today. Also, last night on Comedy Central, Colbert did play the videotape that he played at the correspondents' dinner that was his audition tape to become White House press secretary. He claimed that he was in contention until Tony Snow got the job. And it was pretty funny and very deftly edited, where they took the questions that had been served up to Scott McClellan and edited those into this piece where Colbert answers them, of course, with funnier or more thought-out kinds of answers. But it's pretty good, so check that out, too. I think it's all available on that website, thankyoustephencolbert.org. And I'm not sure who's responsible for that, but I'd like to thank them, too. Josh in Salinas, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi.
Hey, Stephen. Peter.
I'm Peter. Yeah.
The thing was great. I managed to see it on the Internet, and I thought it was really funny.
So what's wrong with the reports on this that, it has ranged from negative to devastating. I have seen only, you know, among people who call this program and my friends, a full embrace of Colbert saying it was great, it was funny, and it was honest and devastating. But Tucker Carlson, who's hardly a barometer of much, he attacked it by claiming that it was one of the five most embarrassing moments in public in America in recent years, and he compared it to Roseanne butchering the national anthem at a Padres game.
He should have called it shrill, maybe. When they can't argue with us, they call us shrill.
Yeah, and angry. And partisan.
They just hate it when people say the truth.
Yeah.
I was on AOL today, and they had a survey about it. The surveys used to trend Republican before the 2004 election.
Yeah.
Very clear majorities going from 60 to 80% approved of the jokes. If the mainstream media, which are always telling us they give us the garbage they give us because it's what we ask for, really wanted to give America what America wants, that thing would have run unedited on television.
I agree. And again, you know, I don't want to turn this into some, you know, great historic moment, but in the current milieu, it was a rare moment of, you know, honest criticism of both the politicians and the media who have given us what we have today. And it is impressive. We started talking about this on Monday, that the coverage initially didn't even mention that Colbert was there. And it's really as a result of the chattering on the blogs that the New York Times and others have said, oh, I guess there's a story there, and maybe we missed it. Josh, anything else you want to add?
No, that's all. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for joining us today. More of your calls coming up in just a moment. One other word. You know that Texas, under George W. Bush and his successor, Rick Perry, has operated the most prolific death machinery in the United States. They have executed more inmates there than any other state in the nation. And now we have learned that Cameron T. Willingham, who was executed a couple of years ago by lethal injection, February 17th, 2004, after Governor Perry rejected a plea for a last-minute stay, was conclusively innocent of the crime for which he was executed. It happens more often than they admit. Past the hour, a quick break, and we return with more of your calls in the Free Speech Zone. 888-579-2540 is our number. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Hey, Sheila Gale here from the number one reality radio show at KRXA. Join me this Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. for more dating tales and dating nightmares with our Lady Lana and hear updates from our former gang member, Robert X. We'll have a conversation with an Indonesian Muslim and hear about his experiences since 9/11. So don't miss us Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. with me, Sheila Gale, reality radio, AM 540 KRXA.
KRXA 540 with one more look at traffic this afternoon. Here she is, Amy Knight.
It's ending quite nicely today. In fact, no new problems to report on 17. Just some road work in Santa Cruz Market at Highway 1. The undercrossing's closed for approximately the next 3 months for road and utility work. Otherwise, one little slow out of Santa Cruz tonight on the southbound side. We still have that bull in the middle of the roadway in Greenfield. Yeah, 12th at Elm. CHP just arriving on scene to find out if he can get him home safely, and 68, no reports of any problems between Monterey and Salinas. REI's anniversary sale starts Friday, May 5th. Save up to 30% in every department. Visit one of REI's 8 convenient Bay Area locations or shop REI.com. Have a safe drive home tonight. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
And Amy, you always keep a bag of charcoal and some steak sauce in your trunk, right?
I absolutely do. I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Rocking into the home stretch. And those guitar riffs were produced by Keith Richards, who fell out of a palm tree in Fiji over the weekend. What we don't know is how many teenage girls were up there with him. No, actually, it was Keith who fell down. Just Keith, no rain. More of your calls here in just a second. You can join me at 888-579-2540, toll-free. Silvio Berlusconi heads into the Italian sunset. He has finally conceded, well, not quite. He resigned, without conceding, his loss to Romano Prodi, who will be the new prime minister of Italy. And Berlusconi, who owned virtually all the media in Italy, particularly the television networks, He couldn't leave quietly or politely, and he is a bitter billionaire, and I guess he'll just go into retirement and produce more bad TV shows. Also, Senator Dianne Feinstein is up for re-election this year. She has no significant primary or general election opposition, but she's campaigning pretty hard, and her representative, Howard Gantman, emails me on almost a daily basis. Today, Feinstein called for a strategic phased downsizing of U.S. forces in Iraq, and full withdrawal by the end of 2007. And she has embraced a report from the Center for American Progress that was written last fall by Lawrence Korb and Brian Katulis, both of whom have been on our program to talk about it. It's entitled Strategic Redeployment 2.0, and nice to see Senator Feinstein moving in the right direction. I don't think she's going far enough, but for her, it's a pretty good step. Susan in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hi, Peter. I agree with you, that Colbert thing. Well, it almost knocked me off my chair. It was so funny.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, that I think that it was totally surprising to those people in there who may be mostly right-leaning. I don't know. I don't know what the makeup is. But
no,
it's
an interesting mix of people. It's the one event in Washington every year that is bipartisan And it's kind of like a roast, or a Don Rickles comedy show, where everybody knows that the gloves are off and you're expected to make fun of either yourself or somebody else.
Yeah, but he was three seats away or two seats away from him, and I think that was just not expected at that level, of total honesty and put down.
Well, but we couldn't see the bubble around Bush and Laura.
But it was hysterically funny, and I can't get into the psychology of what makes those people work, but I could see where it would be very difficult without, looking around at each other and trying to figure out when you should laugh or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's we know from watching the video that the audience was shocked by this, and
they were
stunned in certain circumstances, and they didn't laugh in an ordinary way. They didn't treat this like Jay Leno or David Letterman or even Jon Stewart. They acted like, he was meaner than George Carlin, and ready to utter all of the banned words, banned by the FCC.
Right.
But what I found interesting is that since they didn't laugh, they then report that he wasn't funny.
I know.
And I think that is a very interesting dichotomy.
Okay, one other thing about that that you didn't mention is if you watch the video, I don't know which site it was I went to. It was Crooks and Myers.
Yeah.
Where it's very small, but it streams well, so I watched it. Maybe it was the other one. No, I think it was there. They actually show the whole movie that he did, and Helen Thomas is in it.
Right.
She's going right along with him and playing, this funny character, I just thought it was great.
Well, it was actually edited in.
Yeah.
So she...
But she was a part of...
Well, yeah, and then you're correct. She did a cameo role where she chased Colbert out of the White House or something like that.
Yeah, in the parking lot. It is so funny.
Yeah. He played that on his show last night. That's where I saw that.
Yeah, it is really good. Okay, and the other thing is I'm glad you mentioned Berlusconi, because I was real sick last week, and so I entertained myself by watching Italian TV on my computer.
Oh, neat.
And there are fantastic shows that take place in Italy. There's one called Porta a Porta, which is, door to door. And they have discussions of these things that are unlike anything we have in this country. I wish we did have them, where they have all the people who are really big that are involved with these things and talking about it. And I was so informed by doing that, by watching it and just sort of wondering if we can get it together. Somebody mentioned this morning on, I think it was on Stephanie Miller's show, that it would be great for us to have a television station. And I was thinking that is really maybe the next step from, this radio thing, to take it to the next step of actually getting nationwide TV programs.
Well, there are a couple of options on the satellite TV systems on Dish. They are required to provide some free speech channels, and there's Free Speech Television News, and there's Link TV based in San Francisco.
So those are normal people who don't have satellites.
Right. Those are attempts in that direction.
Thank
you, Susan.
Well, thank you.
Great
to
hear from you. This morning when I logged on to thankyoustephencolbert.org, there were only 33,000 thank yous. It's now up to 40,000. So visit there and add your own. And Matt Renner, our able producer, says that you can also see the video of Colbert at youtube.com, youtube, youtube.com. John in Carmel Valley, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
Peter, I remember you in the early 90s on KMBR.
It's true.
What year did you get kind of forced out of there?
I was bounced in 1992 after supporting the Teamsters in their battle against Safeway.
I just want to make one point about, we've heard so many interesting things about Bush and related matters this afternoon. The thing that discourages me, and there's so many things that do, about the whole mess is Tony Blair. I see Tony Blair as Bush's biggest green light for that blasted war. I think if Blair had played the same stay out of it situation as the rest of Germany and France, Bush would have had a much harder job of pushing that war and convincing the Congress. Not that they needed a huge amount of convincing. They just slid into it with almost no opposition, but Blair made it so much easier, and it's still a big mystery to me why a supposed liberal would be so pro-war. So,
well, he's not a liberal. You know, Blair is the kind of new progressive in England who is, you know, against the Labour Party and against the entrenched unions. So he's really more of a successor to Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, he's even referred to by his critics sometimes as Tony Thatcher.
Right.
Because he's so, I think he's taken Britain 6 times into military campaign since he's been prime minister, or is that the correct figure? Do you know?
Well,
something like that.
I can't count.
It's
that
a lot.
Many.
It's more, I think, than any other prime minister.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, you make a very good point, and I appreciate that. I want to jump to one other call before we run out of time here. Eric in San Francisco. You're next. You're last.
I think it was kind of interesting at the correspondence dinner. The only people that didn't seem to be offended or, you know, by his routine were Joe Wilson and Helen Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, they're the only ones actually laughing, you know, at his little introductions and stuff. But I also think maybe the rest of the mainstream journalists, maybe they're not covering it because maybe they're a little PO'd that here's this comedian, you know, not even a real journalist, and, you know, gets up there and right in front of the president and isn't afraid to, you know, do what they're essentially supposed to be doing.
Well, you're right, Eric, and Stewart and Colbert have shown up journalists too many times using fake news and humor to tell us the truth where the mainstream electronic corporate media has failed us. Thanks for joining us today, Eric, and thanks to all of you for listening. I'll do it again tomorrow. Hope you'll join me.
Happy trails.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
Essentially, ethnic redistribution is happening right now as we speak. The Shia are moving out of the predominantly Sunni neighborhoods, moving into the Shia neighborhoods, and the Sunnis are moving out of the predominantly Shia neighborhoods into the Sunni neighborhoods. People are swapping houses.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And this is what we saw in the Balkans. This is what we saw in Lebanon. This is what happens when civil war happens. And the civil war, I would suggest to you, is already well underway.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Abraham Scott lost his wife, Janice Marie, on September 11th.
I'm glad that the juror brought forth a decision today. I can move on.
Zacharias Moussaoui's view of a 6x10 now has a kind of echoing permanence.
The jury has found the defendant should be sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of release.
Whatever the dynamics of their deliberations, court officials made clear the jury never could reach a unanimous decision on death.
All that the jury was required to report was that they were not unanimous in favor of a sentence of death.
The key point for the holdouts appeared to be their belief that Moussaoui was a bit player at best in 9/11 and was never intended to be the pilot of a fifth plane that day, as he claimed from the witness stand.
That's CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart. Here's the pocketbook bottom line on gasoline prices.
This year, the typical American household will pay well over $1,000 more for gasoline than they paid in 95 through 99.
Mark Cooper at the Consumer Federation. President Bush met with leaders from both parties today.
One of the things that is necessary to help relieve price is to increase the amount of gasoline. We talk about regulatory relief to see to it that we can expand refining capacity and build new refineries.
Another step, reduce demand, something drivers can impact. The House has approved criminal penalties for gouging and fines for energy companies up to $150 million if they're caught.
As politicians continue to scramble to get on the right side of angry drivers, the House passed a bill providing stiff civil and criminal penalties for price gouging of gasoline, diesel, and heating oil. It would be the first federal anti-gouging law and was backed by Michigan Democrat Bart Stupak.
The American people are quite fed up with the price gouging that's going on at the gasoline pump. They know gouging when they see it. And they're being gouged.
The measure represents an about-face for Republican leaders who had previously blocked efforts by Democrats to pass a federal anti-gouging law. Bob Buzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Angola's just about covered up with cholera. 10 of its 18 provinces have been hit by a spreading outbreak of the terrible intestinal disease. It is typically spread by sewage-contaminated water. More than 1,000 people have died of the cholera outbreak. There have been more than 25,000 cases. Cholera is marked by runaway diarrhea, enough to kill some folks.